It's the world famous K-Rock. We are Kevin and Bean. It is coming up on 6 a.m., which is the time that I look over at Allie McKay and I say, hey, what's happening?
And I say, is there a better song to wake up to? Your alarm just went off.
Yes.
And you heard Killing in the Name of.
I mean, I feel like it starts your day in a very, what's the word I'm looking for?
Aggressive way?
Politically minded way.
Oh, see, I wasn't going there.
Oh, I was just...
I was just fist pumping.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I was thinking of rioting in my city for a political reason.
Oh.
But sure.
Boring.
Same thing.
Yeah, no hit and snooze to that bad boy right there.
That is right, Muggs.
Thanks, Muggs.
You're up. You are correct.
You're just up.
Okay.
What's happening on this Friday?
I mean, there's a lot happening, you guys. Baby Yoda.
Oh.
I mean, come on.
So good.
People need Baby Yoda, you guys. Well, Hasbro is getting into the Baby Yoda business. The toy maker is joining the craze for the adorable green scene stealer from The Mandalorian, announcing their own Wave plush dolls that are available for pre-order. But just like the ones that are coming from Mattel, Star Wars fans are going to have to wait until May to get their hands on their own Baby Yoda.
I mean, they are really playing catch up.
They really are. Hasbro's plush dolls include one that talks for $25, a 6.5-inch figure for $20, a bounty collection that includes 6 different versions that cost $8 each, and one that's part of Hasbro's Black Series of Mandalorian toys. And then the last one comes with a little bone broth bowl.
Oh,
so everyone...
Yes.
Everyone can pretend he's a little meme.
By
there
the way,
he is sipping it.
Just so it's out there, I think it's kind of weird they have a black series. I mean, they should make them for everyone.
It's just the name of a series.
Mm-hmm. It's just, yeah. But I appreciate it.
I think it's rude.
Okay. All right. Guys, what do you think is the perfect amount of years to live? When do you want to die, I guess, is what I'm asking you.
Very good question. I think about it a lot as
I'm
a Jewish
sure.
man. I would say 86 sounds strong.
Okay. Yeah. 86?
Anytime before I start pooping in my diapers.
Okay.
Well, too late, I guess.
All right. But you're okay with peeing in your diapers?
I made poopy in my diapers.
Peeing is fine.
Okay.
I can live with that.
So you just want all of your bodily functions. You want to be in control of all of them.
Yes.
Okay.
I poop my pants a little.
That seems odd, Muggs.
Yeah, it's weird.
What if it's at 60? What if you just lose your bowels?
See you later.
All right.
All right. Fine.
Well, Australian scientists have developed a computer algorithm that they say can accurately estimate how long different vertebrates are likely to survive. When looking at humans, our natural lifespan, 38 years. We're only supposed to live 38 years.
And we're just pushing it now.
This is according to taking all your genetic activity into account, all your DNA. They determined the longest living mammal on Earth is the bowhead whale, which they say can live 268 years. I don't want to be that.
No.
No. But 38, I mean, that's a good age. Just tap out.
To call it a day?
Yeah, why not? You're still looking good.
I would have already been dead.
Yeah, I got 2 more years.
Oh, I meant 36.
Oh.
Oh, goodbye, Bugs. Hey, honestly, though, what would, like, if you, I mean, I'm sure this is a question that's been asked on many a radio show, but would you want to know?
Yes.
You would?
Absolutely.
Muggs?
I've struggled with that question. Part of me, yes. Part of me, no. Because I think the amount of anxiety leading up to, like, one day, here we go.
You're speaking my language.
Yeah,
it brings into question all the people that are like, you've got to live for the moment.
Right.
Do everything you want to when you want to. That's the most important thing. No, I want to know so I know how much time I have to do the cool things. Because if I'm going in 5 years, you think I'm going to wake up at 3:30 in the morning to work?
Do radio,
no,
yeah.
I'm going to be walking around Machu Picchu. Where's that?
See, I would do
I'm not doing that.
I would do
just
the
saying.
Same exact thing. I'd be like, Marriage Stories on Netflix. Even if I had like 3 weeks left. I don't think I'd pressure myself.
Come on.
Well, because then every day you think you're going skydiving, and that's not who I am.
You got to live every day like it's your last.
Are you Super Dave?
No, I wish.
I don't want to know.
All right.
Don't want to know.
Okay.
Too scary.
I don't think there's anything scary about it. Death is inevitable, and it's coming for all of us.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning.
Why'd I make a weird claw in a face?
Well,
not
as you
sure.
know, I'm going to die from
That's
a
death
cat. Yeah.
Okay. All right, you guys. So the Big Bang Theory star Johnny Galecki is returning to National Lampoon's Vacation, but in a very different capacity. The actor who played young Rusty Griswold in the classic National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, which anyone who's smart thinks of as the best Christmas movie. It's right here in the copy.
Oh.
Yeah, it's weird. You know, starring with Chevy Chase and Beverly D'Angelo as his parents. He's in early development on a Vacation TV spinoff series for the upcoming HBO Max streaming service. The single-camera show is titled The Griswolds and will explore the family's daily lives in the suburbs of modern Chicago. No official order just yet. It's still in the script planning stages at this point.
There's no way they bring Chevy in.
There's no way. I feel like he has to at least be like the neighbor, like a judgy neighbor that just sees the new guy getting into all the same predicaments. I don't know.
Or Randy Quaid, by the way.
Oh, yeah. You have two crazies.
Dear.
Right.
Yeah, this, quite the cast.
Hmm.
Again, best Christmas movie, you guys.
But he's not the best Rusty.
Who are you going to say? 16 Candles
guy? Yeah, Anthony Michael Hall.
Yeah, no.
I think Supley.
No, Ethan Embry.
Embry. God, yeah. Ethan Embry. Supley was the fat dude.
Well, it seems like
we could definitely work this out on the air.
Yes, he did.
He's not fat anymore.
No. Good job, Bucks. Yeah,
quite the journey.
He's the best Rusty.
Quite the journey.
A lot of Rusties.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he was Nick Papa Giorgio.
Nick Papa Giorgio in Vegas.
Absolutely.
It's my favorite Vegas vacation.
Vegas is your favorite?
Wow, that is a decision. Yeah.
That really is.
Put a dollar in, I want a car. Put a dollar in, I want a car. Put a dollar in. I get it, Rusty.
All of them are good. But that's a weird number one pick.
It's Muggs. Yeah. He had a gambling issue. Yeah. He probably looked at it as research. I get it. All right.
He's like, I relate to this guy. this documentary is good.
Maybe that's why I love the Christmas one, because I love Christmas so much, which is your favorite.
Well, I love Vacation for Wally World. I love the original.
You love big raccoon looking things. Was it a raccoon? What was Wally?
No, it was a moose.
A moose.
Yeah, moose, raccoon. Listen, I'm not good with animals.
I smell like beef, of course.
I still don't. I looked that up. It makes no sense why she even said I like beef in
originally,
the first place.
I know.
Now I just hate that kid. Like, at first I was like, it's so cute the way she says it, but now I'm like, there was no point in her saying it.
No, don't vote for her for president, because she has a great campaign.
Plus, all the videos that she does,
she does a
that
lot.
Her mother
wow,
obviously...
Wow, you really went
oh,
deep.
Oh, no, I did a deep dive.
Yeah.
Her and
I'm a little toot-toot boy
I'm a little toot-toot boy.
All right, we're going to check into that soon. Happy birthday, Steve Buscemi, Jamie Foxx, Dick Van Dyke, who is such...
A terribly named person. Oh, right, yes.
Well, it's not really the name you'd want growing up as a kid.
No.
Tom DeLonge, Morris Day, and Taylor Swift. It's a big birthday
day. That is a big day.
Also, Ted Nugent.
Blah. All right, listen, people, there are, I'm sure you know there are fires up in the northern area, Sylmar, the 118, the 210, Santa Clarita, and there's a lot of people who probably shouldn't come to work. We just got a memo right now that says if you live in that area, don't come into work. Mm-hmm. To which I say, where was that memo 2 hours ago when I got up?
And I saw the response. Over 400 people live over there because they all said, oh, I'm not coming into work.
Everybody claims they live over there.
I guess a lot of people who work at K-Rock and Intercom must
But it does suck. Out there. So sorry to everyone. And if they want to evacuate you, please.
Yeah, stay safe.
Yeah, let them evacuate you. All right, what else can we talk about before Blippi?
Nothing, because we need to get right to Blippi. We need as much time as possible for Blippi.
Sure?
Why is Omar in here?
Well, I'll get to that. Okay. Do either of you know who Blippi is?
No.
Not a clue.
Not a clue? Well, that's why I asked Omar to come in.
Okay.
Omar, how much does Blippi ruin your life?
Blippi was a total nightmare. Mm-hmm. When I discovered Blippi, I almost instantly cut him off from my kids.
That's how bad. He's saying that.
Almost instantly.
Yeah.
Are there any other entertainers banned from the house in the child field?
No. They watch, and my kids watch the weirdest stuff, but Blippi's the only one that I banned.
Like Barney Teletubbies type thing?
But mixed in with like pedophilia.
Wait, what?
He is the most popular children's entertainer in the United States
now. Okay, so children are his audience.
Yes,
100%. Well, that was disturbing what you just said.
Well, he's more creepy than anything.
Okay.
10 billion views on YouTube since launching the channel.
10 what?
Billion views
since
launching the channel in 2014. Let's get a quick taste of what Blippi is like. This is him arriving at a bakery.
So much to learn about, it'll make you want to shout, Blippi!
Hey, it's me, Blippi. And today, we're at Leor the Baker's place in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Hate him.
And today, you and I are gonna eat a lot of tasty treats.
Whoa!
Whoa!
Okay, okay.
He now, can go straight to hell.
Remember, he's not a cartoon, okay? Okay? He's got a very Pee-wee Herman vibe, but he's much more basic and more earnest. It's not a complex bit at all. It's just a,
right, it's just him being it's a all dude, excited about stuff?
31-year-old Stephen John. He grew up in Washington State. And
by the way, so did all serial killers.
he made this persona into a multi-million dollar business. He wears an orange bow tie. Okay. Uh-huh. Orange suspenders, a two-tone Scally cap, and these oversized orange glasses. That's the entire costume. It's not like sort
it's
of
not
detailed.
Complex at all.
It's not elaborate. No, that's it. He reacts to things and points them out.
Does he have underwear and pants on? You didn't mention that.
Well, he wears pants, but okay. I doubt he wears underwear based on how scary this character is. He just reacts to things and points them out. He's slightly educational in a way to say this is what a computer screen is or this is what this is. This is him encountering a large piece of bread in the bakery.
Look at how big these are! Jeez! Look at that! That is massive! We need to get this one.
Okay, I don't like
oh
that
my gosh,
at all.
Yeah. What is that?
And this is like the new incarnation of Blippi. When Blippi first started, it was really him just going to different playgrounds by himself.
Okay.
See, going,
whoa! Yeah, exactly.
And he would go,
hey, look at this yellow slide. Let's go down the slide. Yeah. And then that'd be the entire episode.
Were your kids into it at the point you banned it?
Oh, they were.
Were they mad?
No. They I let them watch like three episodes, and I was like, whoa. Let's not watch this. Yeah.
You should also have maybe noticed that he was in the news earlier this year when old YouTube clips of him popped up. This is of Stephen John before he became Blippi. He was kind of like attempted a comedian.
Oh,
and
no.
So he tried to make a Harlem Shake video, and it involved him pooping on his friend.
Okay. So, all right.
That was I'm back in.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, for reals. There was like a video that came out while he was trying to go viral, and he does the Harlem Shake, and a little bit of poop comes out, and it goes on his friend.
Okay.
Because he's not wearing any pants.
So what? Wait, what?
Yeah, he had to admit that was like an old persona of his, and now Blippi's a whole new thing. And that was the first controversy he ran into.
The first.
This week is the big one, right?
Oh, no.
He announced that Blippi Live would be going on the road for a month. This is a massive deal. This is the first time he's went out on the road.
For what age kids?
The same company that's
one
doing...
One to two?
Yeah, basically, the same company that's doing Baby Shark Live is doing Blippi Live.
Right.
So it's very young. He was going to go 30 cities, starts in San Antonio, ends in Minnesota. So the tickets were expected to sell out immediately. Parents were like rushing to their computer to buy tickets. If Omar hadn't banned it from the house, I'm sure he would have been doing the same thing. So then after they bought the tickets, they started to read the fine print. And now they're furious and all demanding refunds.
What?
It's not Stephen John. He is franchising Blippi out to random people. And
what?
If you go see him live, it's just going to be another person doing Blippi in the costume. Playing the character Blippi. He's going to stay at home and make YouTube videos, and around the U.S., random dudes, I'm sure they're not checking well enough, are going out there and playing Blippi in his costume.
All right, so question. The parents care. I assume the kids don't.
I mean, I think at a certain point you'd be like, that's not really Blippi.
Maybe, yeah.
The only way parents even knew is from fine print. So one parent, this woman named Dana Oliver, I'm livid. I spent $400 on six-row tickets and two meet and greets, and now they're going to be meeting some rando. I'm trying to get a refund.
Can I say something?
Yes.
If you're a parent and you bought tickets to Blippi, you deserve this. Okay?
Wow.
Because you should not be watching or be any way into Blippi.
I mean, you're not even getting Blippi. You're getting like Blippi 2. It's like when Gallagher's brother started to do Gallagher's Act, which kids, I'm sure, understood that reference.
This seems bogus.
But like, would you even care? Like, would you just go anyway? And if your kids love it, they love it.
I mean, I assume if I have young enough kids, they won't notice either.
Yeah, because their audience is definitely for like 3, 4, and 5. So they're not going to notice.
But not 6, 7, 8.
And also, they think the Santa Mall is the Santa. So, and we all know the real Santa is the North Pole. So.
Good.
Wow.
Afraid there for a second. If I'm going with an alleged pedophile, I'm going with Mr. Rogers, right?
Old school.
He wasn't.
All soapy. You know, soap suds all over me.
Right.
And then my grandfather would take this hose.
Oh, right, right.
Like this with me. He'd squirt all over me until the soap, you know, he'd rinse the suds off.
So you were playing?
Yeah, my grandfather and I did a lot of playing together.
Dan Morocca from Pico Rivera won the tickets to go see Tool at Staples Center in October. We have yet another chance for you to win next hour here on the World Famous K-Rock. It's going to be a great show. By the way, don't get there late and miss Killing Joke, because they're going to be super, super fun on the bill as well. Things they always get wrong in the movies coming up this hour. We're going to be including your phone calls and comedian Anthony Jeselnik all straight ahead here on the World Famous K-Rock.
Let's talk next door.
Oof. You guys know what next door is, right?
It's I have Ring. Is it the same thing?
No, it's an app that you basically you have to apply for your neighborhood, mm-hmm. and you get accepted into your specific neighborhood, and it's a way for neighbors to kind of connect with each other.
It's a Crime Watch thing.
It has turned quite quite Crime Watchy. It's a way for them to like keep people safe, like say, hey, just to let you know, my car was broken into last night. That type of thing. It could be used for great stuff. Everything from, oh my God, my dog got out the other day. If any of you seen him, then you post a picture and people are like, oh my gosh, that's a dog I've had in my house for 2 days. His name's Jimmy. Let me give him back to you. Or, hey, found these keys on Oak Street. Do they belong to anyone? Did you drop them on a walk? Oh my God, I've been looking for those. Great. But it also turns into, oh, I've been seeing this guy on a bike every day this week going up and down our street. I think he's casing the street. And then some guy will write back and go, I'm exercising. That's me. Like, everyone just calm your teeth.
I do it every day because that's how you should exercise.
That's how you exercise on a bike.
I will tell you, Allie, because Ring has the exact same neighborhood feature. So I know exactly what you're talking about now. I will tell you that most of the posts that I see are people who freak out if somebody is in front of their house.
Yes.
If somebody is in the public street in front of their house, they are convinced that that's a person who's coming in to rob them or burn their place to the ground.
What percentage of it would you say is helpful versus not helpful?
Lately, could I say none?
Lately, not so much.
Not much.
But I did log on September 3rd, and I saw a thread that floored me. Here is my tweet about it. An argument on my next door feed has resulted in a neighbor Googling another neighbor, finding video of him doing comedy at an open mic night, and posting it to shame him. If you need me, I'll be refreshing that thread until I die. You guys, this was a thread.
It's a real thing that
about
happened.
About somebody leaving a shopping cart on the street.
Wasn't me.
And who do we call? Who picks it up? This has gotten absurd. If it's, you know, a homeless person's shopping cart, you don't want to take the stuff out of it. If you do, wear gloves. If you don't, shouldn't Garcetti be doing more about this? Who do we call? This, that, and the other thing. But then it got just into argument over argument.
Serious arguments.
Serious arguments about, well, I pay taxes, this is absurd. And then the next person, you need to have empathy for the homeless. And then, oh, you bleeding heart liberals, you're the reason LA's going
God.
To...
It's just... By the way, if there's one thing we've learned from the internet comments, on any topic, it takes 4 or 5 posts before somebody either mentions Trump or Hitler.
Yes.
It devolves very quickly, even though you're talking about something that has nothing to do with either.
Absolutely. I will just say the two people beefing the most, we'll call her Becky.
Okay.
And we'll call him Joe. All right. And Becky took it upon herself, after having multiple arguments in this thread with Joe, to Google his first and last name, find said video of him at an open mic night.
So they're neighbors.
Uh-huh.
But they don't talk face to face. They only go through the
app.
Next door app. Okay.
I don't know anybody on the app that lives by me.
Okay.
And I don't know if people are using fake names or what it is, but I sure as heck am using a fake name now after this.
What's your fake name?
Can't tell you.
Okay.
Maybe it's Becky. Maybe it's me. No, so this woman posted a video of him at an open mic night. Yeah, was Joe great? Was he solid? No, he's working through some stuff.
He shouldn't be
on
yet, though.
Stage. No. But
that's
then
a cheap shot.
It turned on Becky.
Oh.
Becky thought she was going to get some points. Like, oh, look at Joe. Like, what a D-bag. Look
Nailed
at him.
It.
Nope. People were like, wow, now I know that my neighbor Becky's an a-hole. Wow, what's wrong with you, Becky? So it changed from everyone arguing about a shopping cart to homeless to Republicans to liberals to we all hate Becky. So I checked back. Becky has been removed from our neighborhood app. So I didn't know this. You can report someone, and then whoever the lead is in that community goes through it and decides whether they ban them or not. So I clicked on Becky, and it says, Becky is no longer part of, and then what my neighborhood is. And I was like, damn, Becky, that was a bad move on your part. First of all, you are a bitch. Second of all,
they voted her out.
Now who are you, like, shaming? Where are you? Probably Facebook.
Have to make this movie. They have to.
It was the most LA thing I have ever seen in my
all,
life.
It all started because Kevin left a shopping cart.
I didn't leave a shopping cart.
Might
not
have
me.
Been Kevin.
How dare you?
There is a very funny Twitter account that I know you're aware of, Allie, mm-hmm. called Best of Next Door.
Amazing.
And it is great. For instance, I left the front door open and my beloved Roomba escaped. Can't believe I'm posting this, but I thought it's worth a try, is one. Another one. Parakeet. My husband found a dead parakeet in our driveway this morning. If your parakeet is missing, then stop looking for it. It's not coming home.
Wow. That's harsh.
Need to rehome a dog. Small terrier tends to bark a lot. If interested, let me know, and I'll jump over my neighbor's fence and get it for you. So that's Best of Next Door. But Allie, please keep us posted on whether Becky gets back into the group.
And I'll know if she uses a different name, because she has very specific writing. I'm
is
on
that
to you,
right?
Becky.
Wow.
I'm on to you.
Like to lodge a formal complaint? Mm-hmm. Who do I do that to?
What's your complaint about, Kevin?
Animal stories. I do not enjoy the upcoming stories because I know one of them and I would like to object.
I think that you are going to love the first one, and you will also never use a toilet again. Hit it, Steve.
Maybe a raccoon or a story about a dog. Maybe a baboon or a story about a frog. A story about a cat or a pizza rat. A story about a minx or a story about a lynx. Animal stories in the news. Animal stories to cure your blues. Animal stories just for you. Let's find out what they're up to.
Oh, sorry, we're out of time.
It's a great batch of animal stories this week. The first two are coming from Australia, where it seems like there are a lot of different ways that animals can kill you. Kevin, you say it's your biggest fear. Do you turn on the light and look in the toilet every time you use it?
No, I have sort of broken myself of that. I just sort of realized, look, just
what
stop
are the chances?
It. What are the chances?
You look when you're done, though.
Sure, to admire.
Yeah.
Well, you take a picture and put it on Instagram.
Sure.
Here's your biggest fear.
If you are one of those people who doesn't turn on the light when you get up to use the bathroom in the middle of the night, this next story might change things for you. This is Mary Richards from Queensland, Australia. Last week, she walked into her dark bathroom and sat down on the toilet.
Nope.
Seconds later, this happened.
Felt this sharp tap on my bottom, along with some pain.
By the way, she sounds very peppy for someone who has just been bitten.
Just a sharp tap.
A tap, yes.
I enjoyed it.
Tap on the bottom, if you couldn't make that out. It turns out that sharp tap was actually a bite from a python that had been curled up in the toilet bowl.
Let's all stop and think and reflect and bemuse on that.
New.
No, sir. Curled up in her toilet.
No, sir. Nope.
In my bottom. It was pretty glorious.
She seems so happy.
Suffering from the shock, Richards shut the lid and called in professional snake handlers. Unbelievably, they told her that it's not uncommon for snakes to sneak into people's toilets down under. However, they admitted it was rare that one actually bit a sitting human, saying the python was likely more frightened than Richards was.
Oh, nope.
Nope. No.
Nope.
No.
I guess, you know, they've had a terrible heat wave in Australia this year. And, you know, the snakes are just looking for a place to go that's just cool. And I guess just being in some water and being in the porcelain and everything like that is just a comfortable place for you to be.
No way. Not ever.
It sounds like you're not on board.
Oh, God, no.
A tourist in Australia has gone viral after posting a video of himself holding a blue-ringed octopus, but it has not gone viral because the animal is beautiful. The blue-ringed octopus, you guys, news to me, is one of the most venomous creatures in Australia. The unnamed tourist is lucky to be alive.
He was holding it?
Yes, he found one on the beach and said, oh, look how cute this little octopus is.
Hey, look, everybody.
Yes. The chilling video, over the weekend, Australians started to point out how dangerous it was to handle the blue-ringed octopus. Commenters shared their own stories about the animal, which reportedly carries enough venom to kill 26 full-grown adults in a span of minutes.
Oh, what? My God.
Is this Jackie Chan?
The venom of the blue-ringed octopus, which, again, I've never heard of before, contains a neurotoxin called tetrodotoxin. It causes paralysis. The sting is so small that most people have no idea they've been poisoned until too late. And here's the best part. There is no anti-venom available.
Yes. What the heck?
The only known treatment is to massage the victim's heart until the venom works its way throughout a person's body in a matter of hours, if you can survive that long.
Hey, everybody, look at this.
Look what I got.
What must it have been like for that guy to post that photo and then start getting all of those comments like, dude, you're an idiot. That thing could kill you.
Dude, he did it for the gram.
I guess he did. Here's one of my favorite stories of 2019. I don't know why they decided to do a DNA test on this orangutan that was born in the Basel Zoo in Switzerland. Little five-month-old Padma is part of an endangered species breeding program. They did a DNA test on her after she was born and found out that the male orangutan that lives in the enclosure with his mother is not the father.
What?
Maja, his mom, had gotten pregnant from an orangutan named Vendel, an 18-year-old male who lives in an adjacent enclosure. Somehow, she stepped out on the boy that's in her enclosure and managed to do it through the fence with the next-door neighbor.
Oh, you have to admire that, right? Come on.
Is that unbelievable?
Slow clap.
Then they went on Maury. You are not the father.
I mean, you've got a male and a female. They have a baby, and then they found out that that male in that enclosure, the only one available to the woman or the girl, at least they thought was not the father.
Nah, the fence, man.
That is the fence
right through the fence.
Wow,
that dude's a baller next door.
Yeah.
Right,
that kid's going through it though.
Right.
A Pennsylvania man says his emotional support alligator helps him deal with his depression. I know that this has been in the news a lot. People are like, look, you're really, you're stretching the definition of what an emotional support animal is. But he says, you know what? He got approval from his doctor. He did not want to go on medication for depression. And he said he always felt better around his alligator. And his doctor said, okay, gave him the certificate. He adopted the alligator when he was around 14 months old and still growing. He is now a 5-foot-long alligator. I had Wally, and when I come home, I was all around him, and it was all okay. My doctor knew about Wally, figured it worked, so why not? However, this alligator will grow to be up to 16 feet long one day.
Oh, my God.
And currently eats chicken wings, by the way, and shares an indoor plastic pond with a smaller rescue alligator named Scrappy. And I'm just here to say, on defense of the alligator, that little indoor plastic pond is not going to be enough for Wally.
No.
Wally is going to need a bigger enclosure with more water at some point.
Also, it brings comfort to no one else. Do you know what I mean? Like, when he carries it around, everyone's like, I'm not comfortable.
Well, yes. I mean, if he takes it on a plane.
Yeah.
You know.
The alligator has never bitten anyone and is even afraid of cats, according to the man. He did acknowledge that he understands that Wally is still a dangerous wild animal and could probably rip his arm off, but he said he's never been afraid of him. He takes him out sometimes for meet and greets at places like senior centers and minor league baseball games. He is just like a dog, the man told a woman at a recent outing to a senior center. He just wants to be loved and petted.
Right.
And finally, I'm not going to have much luck with the pronunciation here, but her name is Kamirjira Klongzinen. She was 7 miles into a marathon in western Thailand when she saw the runners around her dodging a puppy in the road. She stopped on the side of the road during the marathon and coaxed the dog over to her. There were no houses nearby, so she thought, wow, maybe this puppy was abandoned. She just did not want to leave it behind, so she picked it up and carried it the next 19 miles
of the marathon.
That puppy was probably a half a mile from home, and then she picks it up and takes it 19 miles further.
Yes, that puppy was just stepped out of its yard. She ran 19 miles holding a puppy under her arm, by the way. She says, again, it seems to her that the little guy was lost. There were no houses. There were no other dogs. There were no other people around. She thought it was an unsafe environment. Running almost 20 miles carrying a dog was truly a challenge. It was two times more tiring than a normal marathon, but I did it anyway because he was just so adorable. I know it takes a lot of time for a new dog with checkups and vaccinations and treatments, but I'm glad I was able to save him.
She stole the dog.
She stole him.
She did.
She thinks she's some sort of a hero for running the marathon with a puppy. She stole some poor kid's dog.
There's signs up all over on the post. Hey, have you seen this dog?
But that dog is 20 miles away by now. This has been Animal Stories.
Animal Stories in the news. Animal Stories to cure your blues.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7. We are heading into the weekend. It's a Friday. I could not be more excited, but I'm very nervous about holiday shopping. I'm sure you guys are, too.
Why?
Because I just feel like I haven't done enough. But that's not really important right now. What is important is, Allie, what's happening?
Wow. I just saw your soul leave your body.
Well, you know, I feel like I have a few gifts to get, and I have no ideas.
It's the 13th. You're fine.
But it all comes so fast.
You're not mailing it, right?
I'm not mailing it.
Okay, you're fine.
Yeah.
You're good.
Okay.
Just stay away from the Christmas wrapping, because your hands will burn.
Right? He's saying that because I'm a Jew.
Right, Jensen?
He's saying that. I can't even touch Christmas wrapping.
Why is he saying it out of the side of his mouth?
Because I just had a stroke.
Okay. Oh, well, geez.
All right.
That seems like you're burying the lead.
Reports say Amazon has paid a pretty penny for the rights to a documentary about the life of Rihanna. According to The Hollywood Reporter, the streaming giant paid $25 million.
What are people doing paying for documentaries? They cost like $16 to make.
Well, I'll tell you why.
Okay.
The documentary is directed by Peter Berg.
Oh, okay. So he has explosions in it and cars
flipping
over.
There's
going to
be a lot of cars flipping
over.
There's
like a football scene where they're like, clear eyes for hearts, big butts, or whatever that thing was.
I don't know if that's the exact quote, but it should be. Yeah, it features more than 1,200 hours of footage and will offer insight into Rihanna's personality, sense of humor, work ethic, family, and love. Not going to lie. I'm going to watch the hell out of that.
Right.
And I'll tell you why. One, because Rihanna rules. But I feel like I don't know a ton about Rihanna.
No, she is a mysterious person.
Yes. Yeah. I hope we get a little bit more.
Apple paid a bunch of money for the Billie Eilish documentary
as
well.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
I feel like the Apple thing was more to kind of keep her in the fold.
In the fam.
Yeah, with Apple, which I imagine could be a pretty cool place to be if you're in the Apple fam.
Yeah.
Do you think Chris Brown will be in the documentary?
Oh, they'll have to talk about it. Have to. Absolutely. Peter Berg is not going to be like, no, we'll avoid that aspect. No.
Peter Berg's like, full hearts, clear eyes. Chris
Woman
Brown's.
Beater.
Chris Brown's.
Yeah.
I can't. What is the whole thing?
Can't lose.
All right. No. There it is.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd ask Christine, but she got the DVDs from Bean.
And never will it watch.
Never watched them. I don't even think opened them.
Hmm.
Which I think might be why Bean left.
He's
still so upset about it. We're like, you gotta get over
and
it.
And also it's so, everyone loves it. It is a universally beloved TV show.
Yeah.
Get into it.
Did you watch it?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Every single one.
That's why you can't remember the catchphrase.
Right. Yeah.
But me, someone that's never
also,
watched it, remember
it? Did you hear
it?
How, ask me again.
What's the catchphrase?
No. Ask me if I watched it
again. Have you ever watched it?
Yeah. You can tell that by the pitch jump that I didn't watch it at all.
Never.
No.
Okay.
Like,
I saw a couple episodes, but I wasn't hardcore.
No.
Yeah.
Core!
Ask me if I've ever seen The Wire.
Have you ever? Oh, I don't even want to talk about this because this upsets me so much.
Just ask me.
Have you ever seen The Wire?
Yeah.
Oh, never seen The Wire.
That's another reason Bean left. He bought me the entire box set of The Wire on DVD. I haven't even torn into the cellophane.
Do you understand that you are missing one of the best shows ever?
When I get polio, that's what I'm watching first.
Again.
Here we go. Ready? I'm going to ask you if you've ever seen The Wire.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen The Wire?
Yeah.
See? That's how you know someone's lying about TV shows they've watched or movies they've seen.
Okay.
They get real, because they want it to end.
So my whole thing when I see a baby that's not cute, like when my friends are like, oh my God, look at our new baby. And I say, look at you. I should just say,
he's so cute.
Yeah.
He's cute.
Yeah. Look at that.
Ask me if I've seen Peaky Blinders.
No. So Warner Brothers has slotted a follow-up to the 2019 superhero film Shazam. It's on the schedule, you guys. The movie, not a joke, will be released April 1st, 2022.
Oh, dang it!
You're busy? Yeah.
Yes! I have getting my car washed. I bought the extra, you know, the package thing?
Yeah, you gotta use it by April 2nd.
No, the 3rd.
Oh, okay.
So I guess I could go the 3rd, but I have something the 3rd.
You couldn't even give me April 2nd.
No. I have something the 3rd, and then the 2nd I can't schedule because there's something tentative.
Right, I get it.
Oh. Well, 2021, you said?
2022.
Oh, hold on. No, I also can't do 2022.
Uh-huh. Why?
April 1st, I'm going whitewater rafting.
Oh.
Yes.
Maybe they can have a screening
out
there in the woods?
No electricity.
You pull over your raft?
Nope, no electricity.
Okay. Well, Shazam 2, Electric Boogaloo, will be available April 1st, 2022. Zachary Levi back on board to star.
I'd like to see it.
Reportedly. The film is in addition to a Black Adam film in the works starring The Rock and a lot of other releases announced on Wednesday, most notably another DC title, The Flash, races into theaters July 1st, 2022, and The Matrix, May 21st, 2021. And you may say to yourself, well, I can't wait for Keanu, May 21st, 2021. Well, guess what? That's Keanu Reeves Day, you guys, because both John Wick Chapter 4 and Matrix 4 come out on May 21st, 2020.
Gosh, I love movies.
You guys, it's Keanu Reeves Day.
Whoa.
There's so much Keanu on that day.
Nice mug.
It's my Keanu. Let's
see what you did.
I love Keanu.
I mean,
he's a woke daddy.
The best.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Daddy is kind of creepy.
I watched Point Break again last night.
Did you wear your shoes?
Swear to God. No. I'm currently building a mantle for it.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
I love it.
They will never touch ground.
Okay. Did the movie still hold up from the last time you watched it about a month ago?
When they got Keanu in the van to go rob the bank with him, I mean, it was so intense.
Yeah.
It was so intense. Yeah. It never loses its effect and intensity. Mm-hmm. It's the best.
So you're still holding strong to that being the best action movie of all time.
Till I die, baby.
It was scary.
It wasn't really scary, but it was intense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Still is.
She would like to see that.
Whoa.
I would like to see it.
See? There she is. Some birthdays for you. Taylor Swift, Morris Day, Tom DeLonge, Dick Van Dyke, Jamie Foxx, and Steve Buscemi. And
I think it was just last week we did Who's the Dick with Kevin?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think we determined mostly that you were not the dick, didn't
we? Well, only that I determined that I was the dick early enough in the story to change it.
He saved himself, yeah.
He saved himself.
Dick adjacent.
I was a dick at one point in that story.
I think
we did crazy.
I think the ruling was dick adjacent. That's true.
Yes.
All right. Well, give me the reverb here because it's time once again for Kevin Amin's Who's the Dick? And this time it's Jensen's story.
That's right.
Jensen. Jensen is the dick.
Well, guys, a little early.
Thanks for joining us, everybody.
A little early. Got to tell you the story first.
All right.
So here's the thing. I was leaving. I was walking my dog. Let's start from the beginning.
Okay.
And there's a lot of squirrels and rabbits in my neighborhood. And my dog, always, as all dogs, become very attracted to these things. So they race at them. And so there was a time I saw a squirrel in my driveway.
Mm-hmm.
Brunch, my dog, started to pull.
Your dog's name is Brunch.
He's so white, named him Brunch. Right. And the dog started to pull me towards a squirrel, and I was like, oh, let that squirrel be. And then I was like, oh, that squirrel is really chilling, like just sort of sitting there. Brunch didn't scare him at all. Mm-hmm. And so I got closer, and the squirrel is in perfect normal position, like any squirrel, just on its feet, just sort of laying there. And I go, oh, that squirrel's dead. So I said, okay, I'll walk Brunch, and then I'll come back, and since it's on my driveway, I will clean it off my driveway. Mm-hmm. He's dead. So we come back, I put Brunch inside, and I look closer, and there's blood.
Oh.
The squirrel's in perfect condition. Mm-hmm. And it looks like he's literally almost like cheesecake posing a little. Like, it's like he's in a perfect position.
Okay.
Like a senior photo.
Yes,
hands
like a
under the
yeah, like a squirrel
chin.
Senior okay. photo. And
that's a
weird,
well,
that's a weird way to end up when you die.
Extremely.
Unless he just literally just died of organ failure, old age, and just like laid down
while
and,
taking a senior picture.
No, yeah. In other words, rather than some sort of a trauma or anything like that, it's
but
almost
you said
like he just
blood.
There's blood, but not on him at all. Just around his like mouth area, like he coughed up blood.
Oh,
right.
God.
And it's startling, very very startling.
Yeah.
Poor dude.
It looked rough. So I go inside. I tell Danielle, and she goes, "Well, we don't really have, you know, maybe one of your shoe boxes," which is difficult for me to do. But I was like, you know what? It's a grave. Let's do it. So I go upstairs. I cannot do it. I physically can't.
You can't pick which shoebox to
no,
take.
No. I get the shoebox. I cannot take. The squirrel's too normal. It looks alive, right? It looks.
But you know it's not.
I don't know. I can't really tell why. Who dies like that? Who dies in normal position? And so I'm thinking to myself, maybe he's going to live. I don't want to pick him up. Danielle goes, why don't
Wait,
you...
Wait, you couldn't tell for sure he was dead?
Not really, no.
You didn't poke him?
No, that would be awful.
Well, if you poked him and all of a sudden he was like, oh, thanks for that, and he ran away.
Then that would be a happy ending
to this story.
Feel
the pulse in his neck, nothing?
Guys, there was
blood. Did you give him mouth to mouth?
There was blood all around his body. It was like he was sacrificed by pagans.
Okay, I'm telling you he was dead, and I didn't even see him, and I could tell he was dead.
I assumed he was dead, but
devil
I thought...
Devil-worshipping squirrels but, offered him up.
But also, to be honest, I was also chickening out a little. He was... too normal. It was like I would have moved his body and it just didn't feel right.
So wait a second here. Yeah. So if his head had been cut off, he would have been fine with going out and picking up the pieces.
Yeah,
but
much
because
easier.
He was in one piece, you couldn't deal.
Yes.
He was too normal.
This is weird, you guys. You're the dick.
No, well, hold on. Don't make a decision yet.
Okay.
And so I said to Danielle.
You go do it, honey.
Well, I thought about that. Instead, I go, you know what? I'm going to do it in the morning. Because then
just to give him a fighting chance.
Yeah, to give him a fighting chance. So I was like, I'm gonna, and so I text my mom at the same time, and I go, Mom, she is coming over in the morning to help with the baby, and I go, do you have a shovel? And she goes,
wow,
a big shovel? I go, yeah, big one. She goes, are we burying somebody? I said, no, I need it for the squirrel in the front. She goes, okay, no problem.
I like that. That's your mom's guess, though.
Yeah, she figured we were gonna kill
well
maybe kill Danielle or something. And my mom goes, why don't you leave out water in case. He is alive, and that way he'll go to it when he wakes up. I go, I'm too tired. So I went to bed. I knew he was dead. Okay. And so...
You knew he was dead? Then why are you pausing and waiting overnight?
I felt weird picking up what looked alive. He looked...
But
I don't know.
You just said you knew it was dead.
I'd hope so.
He wanted to sleep on it.
Okay.
And so I wake up in the morning, and he's still there in the same pose, same senior photo. And
it's a hell of a nap he's taking.
And I go, you know what? Not now. I'll do it when I get home.
You know what?
Yeah, I'll do it when I get home. I'm too big. I got to get to work. It's 4 a.m. And so I get in the car, drive off, make sure not to run him over again. And my mom goes, okay, I'll see you in a little. I'll have the shovel. I go, great.
It's not what you want to hear from your mom ever.
Right.
I have the shovel.
My mom texts me and goes, just got to the house. We have the shovel. He's gone.
The squirrel's gone.
So I assume he's alive, or maybe I was right the whole time. But the truth is, I'm being told that he was most likely picked up by a bird. Right?
Oh, I see. Oh. What do you mean you're being told by the other squirrels in the neighborhood?
Yeah. All the pagans. No.
He's got his ear to the street. He knows what's going on.
A lot of people are like, those things get picked up all the time.
Mm-hmm. It's a food source at that point.
Yeah. So now here's a couple questions I have. One.
You're a complete baby. Is that a question?
I don't think that's up for
who's
debate.
Who's the baby?
I know that's true. I chickened out while trying to pick up a dead squirrel. But I wonder, did I now poison a bird?
Oh, because you think the squirrel may have died via poison rather than just old age.
He looked like the squirrel equivalent of like in a movie when a guy who's sick coughs into like a towel and it leaves like a red mark. That's what it was like around him on the driveway.
Uranium, radiation
bad.
Poisoning.
Yeah, it looks bad.
Well, does somebody have poison out for the squirrels? I hope not.
I mean, wouldn't you think that there's like rat poison or something out in someone's yard could happen.
Oh,
the odds
sure.
are likely
guess
that
so, yeah.
it's somewhere in the area. So I ask you, did I not only allow a squirrel to die in cold blood, like a Johnny Cash song about squirrels,
mm-hmm.
or did I also poison a bird that came to pick him up?
Because you were too weak.
Correct. Too much of a chicken to pick up a...
I'm ready to rule on too weak. That's what we're ruling on or no?
No, it's dick or not.
I
I mean, we don't have any way of knowing that there was poison involved.
Correct. Well,
honestly, I think you could sleep at night not being convinced that you poisoned a bird who picked up the squirrel, because there's no real reason to suspect that he was poisoned. There are lots of things that could have gone
wrong.
His
little arm was tied off, though, and he had a needle in it.
He's a junkie squirrel.
On the way, Omar has a special break, which I'm very afraid of, because I, in general, don't like Omar's subject matter.
How dare you?
We have great news, and we have Henry Winkler coming up. But first, it's time for People Are Dumb. In Tonawanda, New York, a woman is facing charges after police say she called 911 asking how she could kill her boyfriend.
Well, if you don't know how to kill a person, you need some advice, Kevin.
But do you call 911? What do you think, like, go to YouTube?
Yeah, I would call 411. What's the info?
Zelda Cotton, 54 years old, is charged with endangering the welfare of an elderly person who was her boyfriend at a spry 76 years old.
Was it Ruben?
That's a great question. They also said that she had faked hitting her boyfriend four times with a VCR tape. Like, that's all that had happened so far. Then she called 911 and asked, hey, how do I kill him? And, of course, the police show up and they arrest her and... And his life is so much better now.
Who has a VHS tape, by the way?
I know. Really.
That's what I was thinking. Well, then he's 76.
Yeah, I guess so.
Maybe he's got an 8-track.
Yeah. Oh, my
God. Who knows?
God.
A man who says he fled an Austrian prison over a decade ago has turned himself into police. He left, he escaped, and he went to Spain's Canary Islands. Uh-huh. And he lived there for 10 years. Police said the 64-year-old carrying two suitcases went to police at a railway station and said, I'm a prisoner. I escaped 10 years ago, and you should probably arrest me.
What?
Wait, after 10 years.
Why?
Here's what he said. Tenerife, which is the exact island that he was on, it's not as nice as it used to be. And he'd lived there long enough.
So we ready to go to prison?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Free rent, you know free what? Food.
It's been nice.
I get it, yeah.
It's been nice, but it's going downhill.
Yeah.
So.
Plus, life on the run is hard. I know from experience.
The next story is out of Akron, Ohio. Police say they identified a woman who robbed a Northeast Ohio video store. This is really old school stories.
Well, yeah, what's going on? Is this the 80s?
Because she walked in and she wanted the woman to pull up her account.
Okay.
So she gave the woman her phone number, which the account is listed under. Then she went and browsed for a little bit. Then she went back and put a note saying, I have a weapon. Give me all of your money.
Oh, my God. But at a video store?
Yes, but she
has all her info.
Why would you rob them?
She already gave them her phone number. So she called the police. The police called her. They tracked her down, and they arrested her.
This is people are dumb, right?
People are very dumb, yes. This is a bizarre story, and it comes out of Delano, Florida. By the way, almost all stories come out of Florida.
Yeah,
almost
true.
All of My People Are Dumb, and all of Bean's, you know, What's Up with Florida?
Mm-hmm.
It's a crazy state. Authorities say a 72-year-old Florida man repeatedly stabbed his nephew because... Anyone? Stabbed his nephew because...
He ate his cereal.
He stole his lawnmower.
The VHS machine wasn't working.
Great guess. He was taking too long in the bathroom.
Oh, sure, man. Sure. Well, when you got to go, I feel that guy.
Stabbed him.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got to go.
It checks out, yeah.
Sheriff deputies arrived Tuesday to find the 29-year-old. So the guy's 72. The 29-year-old is his nephew who has been able to live in his car in the man's driveway. But then can also use the restroom.
That old dude was fed up with this guy.
Right?
There's so many issues there. Yeah, for sure.
A lot of resentment.
Apparently, when the police arrived, this guy had wounds in his stomach and back.
Oh,
like,
God.
This 72-year-old was going.
He went to town, right?
Oh, I mean, how bad do you have to go?
Oh, man.
That's insanity. And finally, armed carjackers stopped by stick shift. Flee on foot. This story comes out of Dallas. An armed hijacker in South Oak Cliff went south when the alleged thieves, after the Dallas police showed up, and he was unable to drive a stick shift. Have you ever driven a stick shift?
I have.
Okay. And you know when you let out the clutch.
Oh, it dies.
You give it a little gas.
Right.
Oh, right.
That's the key. You just have to give it a little gas.
Yeah.
If you just pop the clutch, it dies.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So this guy, I'll play some news for you, and then I'll describe in detail exactly what was happening.
Well, Doug and Kaylee, all those police officers actually just left the scene, once again reopening this road here in South Oak Cliff. But just a few minutes ago, that Mustang GT, this investigation all surrounded, sat outside this home, and the thieves actually didn't get too far with it because they couldn't drive it. Now, police tell us the owner of the Mustang had just parked when two men approached. They manned the car at gunpoint. A fight broke out, and the victim ended up being grazed in the leg. He's fine, but police say when the suspects tried to speed off, they didn't know how to drive stick shift and kept stalling. Now, investigators say the suspects in this case eventually gave up after they couldn't actually get it into gear.
They couldn't?
Yeah.
Drive away.
That's hilarious.
Those two carjackers were definitely millennials.
And so everybody there standing around going, hey, dudes, get out of the car.
And they'd stall, and then they'd stall, and then they'd stall.
Awesome. They literally couldn't drive it away.
I wish there was footage of this.
Same.
So bad.
I do too. And that is...
Hey, another reminder, The Cure is coming to town, and we've got your tickets. Allie, you're going to be giving those away on What's Happening later on today?
I sure will. Thanks for asking.
Pasadena Daydream Festival is going to be happening at the Brookside at the Rose Bowl August 31st. Not only The Cure, but the Pixies, Deftones, and so much more. You can win them this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Craig Kilborn.
Yes.
Used to do the Late Late Show at CBS, correct?
Even more than that. He was the original Daily Show host.
Mm-hmm.
He was on SportsCenter. He was one of the more memorable SportsCenter anchors.
Mm-hmm.
You saw him in the movie Old School.
He always seemed to me to be one of the smartest of all the late night hosts.
That's what it would have appeared. I think that's a good assumption. You know, mm-hmm. he sort of had a bunch of very educated writers, and they kind of worked on a higher level than most late night TV.
And was Old School the last thing we
pretty much
saw him in?
Yeah.
Yeah, the last real public thing, I mean, it's very rare for somebody to be in a high-profile series of television jobs and then just vanish.
Yes.
And I also, by the way, and I know we're going to get into, he's back in the news now because of his Instagram account, but I also can't figure out the money. Like, how do you walk away from the network in 2004
mm-hmm.
and have enough money to still be retired?
Yeah, it's all real questionable.
Hmm.
The life of Craig Kilborn is very, very odd, and now he has jumped into Instagram full speed, just completely jumped into the deep end. And this is after being pretty much absent from the public eye for years.
Yeah, this is weird.
And
Jensen told me he's a weirdo. You need to look at his Instagram, and he sure is.
And he follows you now.
Yeah, he does.
And
yes.
he comments on your stuff.
Yes, he does.
He does for me, too. I love it.
For those who don't know Craig Kilborn, his character and his real persona are sort of very blurred. He kind of plays this aristocrat, elitist. But is that Craig Kilborn, or is that a character? That's kind of a thing that's gone back and forth his whole career. So on Instagram now, he's releasing these videos that he edits himself, and he puts a lot of time into them, but boy, it really does not help the conundrum that is Kilborn. I pulled some clips. This first one gives you an overall feel of what it's like to follow Craig Kilborn. This one talks about his shoes.
Well, hello there. Every few months, I like to go into my closet and admire my extensive shoe collection. When I was doing the old show, I received an obscene amount of complimentary footwear, including these beautiful derby shoes by Prada, chocolate brown. I've never worn them before outside of my house. I'm thinking about debuting them this summer up at the new Rosewood Miramar Beach Hotel in Montecito. You're saying, Craig, they're not very beachy. Ladies and gentlemen, how should I put this? I have never in my life sipped white wine wearing tennis shoes. And I don't feel like I've missed out on anything.
Okay. I love him so much.
You gotta wonder, how did that not work on late night TV?
Yes. I mean, that's great, but what's the end game? You don't put that much effort into just your Instagram.
I love that little background music.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. By the way, he edits that in later. He does dissolves a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he clearly has a mission on Instagram, and they asked him why he started it in an interview, and he said it was because his nieces saw a picture of him holding a martini glass wearing, like, a vest and tie, and they were like, you gotta go on Instagram.
That's pretty strong.
And he was like, and then you got to follow your producers. And so now he's on it. You also, every one of these are shot from like a lounge, and he's always holding sort of an alcohol glass, a scotch glass, and it just seems like he's living the life of like a 90-year-old heir to like some sort of empire.
Yeah, this is all shot from his house in Hancock Park.
Yeah.
Like he lives the life.
Mm. Yeah, of sort of a retiree. Like Boca Raton resident.
And apparently has another house out in the desert, too.
Yes, so he does go to Palm Springs as well.
Yeah, so Craig's doing fine.
How long has Craig Kilborn been like this? The second clip tells you about what he was like in high school.
When I was in high school, my classmates would listen to REO Speedwagon and Foghat. I would hang out with dear old father. We eat a can of smoked oysters and listen to Dean Martin and Mr. Nat King Cole. Yes, the magic happened early.
This next one is a story. He asked a minute-long story about David Bowie.
Hey, Craig, can you tell a David Bowie story under 1 minute?
Sure, I can try.
See if you can keep up. Late 80s, I'm living in Venice, California. It's the middle of the day. I'm reading a David Bowie biography. I need to take a break. I go to the Beverly Center. That's what we did back then. As I'm walking around, I see a beautiful woman wearing a short skirt with very toned legs. She's walking with this gentleman. They go into B. Dalton Bookseller. I follow them. Ladies and gentlemen, it's David Bowie. The woman is the lead dancer for the Glass Spider Tour. Wow. I was seeing one of my heroes, if just for one day. What an odd place to see Bowie. A place oddity. I went outside into the serious sunlight. I returned to Venice, put on a dress, and finished my book. I'm kidding. It was a bodysuit.
What's happening?
He's straight crazy.
Remember,
he's such a delight.
The host of the Late Late Show now is James Corden, who sings with you in a car.
Yes.
It's a completely different vibe.
Yes.
So the day that, remember, this guy, Craig Kilborn, played college basketball, I believe. He was very good, and sports was what he first came up in for SportsCenter. So when he talks about basketball a lot, he's a humongous Minnesota Timberwolves fan, because that's where he's originally from. But the day that Kawhi Leonard got traded, he posted a video celebrating for Toronto, and I know that Kevin's not going to like this, but this is how it started.
Oh, we are drinking early today, my friends, and I say, Kawhi not.
Pretty good. And so he congratulates the Raptors for their championship. And this is a footnote he gives Canada at the end of the clip.
And while I have you, my issue with hockey is the same as soccer. Too many turnovers. Congratulations.
I have watched these videos multiple times, and he delights me. And you have to watch him because, A, he winks in a lot of them.
Yes.
And he has like a little glistening, like the bloop that he adds in when he winks. Oh, it is fantastic.
Hey, you know what just occurred to me? Kevin, is this the late night show that you and I were on as guests? Did we go on Kilborn?
It feels on brand.
I think so.
We were on one of them. Was it Kilborn?
Now that you bring that up, I think so.
I think we were, and he was delightful. He was super nice to us.
Honestly,
why would he have had us on? It makes no sense.
I think he was hurting for guests, but still super fun. But yeah, what a weirdo.
Yeah, and you can follow him at Mr. Craig Kilborn. I believe it's a bit of a renaissance for the man, but boy, is he weird. So follow him. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock 106.7. It's coming up on 8 o'clock on a Friday. Or a Friday to those who celebrate.
Friday. Thank you.
So it's our favorite What's Happening of the Week. Allie, that's my jam time.
It is. Here's the thing. We don't pick the songs that we play here on K-Rock.
Really?
Sure, we love a lot of it.
Uh-huh.
Some. We don't as much as most. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
We all have very varied musical tastes.
Yeah.
So we decided a while ago to come up with a Spotify mix called That's My Jam, where every week a member of the Kevin and Bean Show, and by a member, all members of the Kevin and Bean Show, pick a song that they're currently into. Maybe it's something that just came out, or maybe it's something that came across their playlist, but it makes you go, yeah, that's my jam. So we put it on every single week. There's over 100 songs on there right now. 5 hours and 32
Whoa.
Minutes of music.
Damn, son, where'd you get that?
All right.
It's on many
you
can playlists.
Oh. Find it at Kevin and Bean on all of our social media. It is called That's My Jam. And then on Friday around this time, we like to play some of our picks. So let's start off first with Jensen.
Well, I was going to select this song, and I didn't. But
Oh, dear.
Just remember it.
Took the world by storm.
This is Sandy Bainum with a song called This Christmas.
I'll be celebrating Hanukkah with a Jewish man I'm dating. Won't be standing underneath a mistletoe this year, 'cause I'll be here with you.
This is real.
Let's keep it going. Way she says,
just
Jew.
Aggressive.
Hard J there.
Aggressive.
That's Sandy Bainum, This Christmas. So many people reached out to me on social media asking about that song.
Yeah.
I want to remind you, it is completely earnest. It is not like a Weird Al song.
No.
It is like a true Christmas song, Sandy Bainum, This Christmas.
Well, she's a true Hanukkah song.
Right. Well, she's dating a Jew.
With a hard J.
Hard J on it. All right. My real pick is a song from my high school years, early college years. A band that a lot of people know. They were out of Berlin, Atari Teenage Riot. They were awesome. This sort of like left-wing anarchist, politically driven EDM, I guess, like thrash band.
Yeah.
Almost like no one had ever heard before, and they were geniuses. Alec Empire was lead singer. He passed away a few years ago. But I listen to this song all the time. I love it. We used to play it at parties to like ruin the dance floor. This is Atari Teenage Riot with Speed.
Wow.
I'm so bummed I wasn't ever able to see Atari Teenage Riot perform live. I wish I would have.
I feel like it's very different from your I'll
Normal
be
picks?
Celebrating.
Celebrate. Well, they're both pro-Jew.
Oh, I didn't.
Both of
okay.
them are
okay.
about dating a Jewish man.
Wasn't
both
aware
songs,
of that. Okay.
Speed and This Christmas.
All right. Since Kevin's already on vacation and so is his brain, even though we reminded him multiple times, hey, send in your song. He's pretending he doesn't know us. We're blocked from his email.
What?
Right
I'm
now.
Not the whiskey. What? Not the Roxy, the whiskey.
So, Beer Mug, you're up. What is your song?
Well, I'm really honored right now because this is my first.
Just get to
okay.
it.
Okay. For all you metalheads out there, this is from a band with the best metal name, in my opinion, ever. It's Five Finger Death Punch. And they've been around since 2005. They've released six studio albums since then. They have a seventh one coming out in February. And I heard this song off that upcoming album called Fate. And Five Finger Death Punch is a band that they have a lot of metal qualities to them. They have heavy, thrash, melodic, alternative, hard rock. And I heard this song. I was like, yeah, I like it. We're missing a little bit of rock on K-Rock. It's not K-Rap. It's K-Rock. You know what I'm saying? So this is my That's My Jam pick, Five Finger Death Punch, Inside Out.
You can love it, or you can leave it. Because nothing I say and nothing I feel is right. Even if you wanted to, you couldn't understand. While I'm sitting up here dying, you're just holding out your hand. Even if I wanted to, I couldn't have explained. 'Cause you don't know the difference between violence and pain. There's no denying it.
Split lip!
A split!
Wow. Some mosh pit in the country club with the swish swish.
5 feet in that punch is the club as good as the club when old Suey hit me in the face.
Suey. Very serious.
Suey.
Very serious.
I didn't get corrected on Twitter, which I'm surprised about, but I did. Alec Empire didn't die. Carl Crack died. The other guy in
Atari TV. Not Carl Crack.
What do you know?
I haven't looked at Twitter yet, but I guarantee someone's like, it's me, Alec Empire. I'm alive.
Oh, man.
The other co-founder, Carl Crack, dead. Also, with the name Carl Crack, how do you think he died?
He stepped on a crack?
No. His mother broke her back?
No.
No?
Speed? Crack? Coke?
Drugs and alcohol.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thanks for updating us with that happy news. Mine comes from a band that most of us know, formed in the late 70s. They're called The Specials. They've been around forever. They've had breakups. They've had new members. They, too, have had death.
Oh.
I'm not going to name the alive one, though.
Okay.
But in February, they were back with a new album called Encore, which debuted at number one on the UK albums chart. That's their first chart-topping album since 1980, you guys.
Wow.
A lot of time in between.
3 years before I was born.
Split lamp!
Split lamp!
Wow. What is happening? But they are a blast, and I feel like I picked this song because it reminds me of Halloween for some reason, and you guys know how much I love Christmas, but I might love Halloween just a smidge more, and it's The Specials with The Lunatics.
I see the faces of starvation, but I just cannot see the point, 'cause there's so much food here today. That no one wants to take away.
The lunatics have taken over the asylum. The lunatics have taken over the asylum.
Basically, I'm so excited for Halloween.
I really love that song, Ali. And I love the specials.
I know.
I love the specials. I'm glad that the lunatics are is new because Ghost Town reminds me of Halloween.
Yeah.
And I just, every time I hear it, I feel like I'm walking down like old 1920s Hollywood and I see Boris Karloff's The Mummy smoking a cigarette.
We're out of time, Mux. Okay.
Also, I just realized it's not Carl Crack who died.
Oh my God.
No, I'm kidding.
Again.
Carl Crack is dead. He's dead.
Guys.
Split lamp!
Guys.
Steve Heroin is alive.
Guys.
Their guitarist.
You can find it at Kevin and Bean on all of our social media. Again, you've got over 5.5 hours of music. Just press the follow button. Listen to it on shuffle. You're going to have a great drive ahead of you if you play that playlist. You guys, it's a wonderful day. Let's just get out of here. Oh, we've got two more hours.
Yeah. Still a little early.
This phone topic could go south, but we're going to try. We're going to try and steer it to the funny side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'll tell you the personal story that I have. My dad was in the hospital for, I don't know, maybe a month before he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on a machine that was keeping him alive and helping him breathe and stuff like that. And he would come to maybe, you know, once a day at some point. And so at one point, like 2 days before he passed away, he sort of woke up and looked over at me. And my dad was a huge Phoenix Suns fan.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why I would tell him this while he's being kept alive by a machine.
Oh, we got some time together. I got something to tell you.
But I did say, Dad, Shaq has been traded to the Suns. And he looked confused, and then he shook his head no.
Like, no, he didn't want it, or no, I don't believe it.
No, I don't believe it.
Yeah.
Or no, why are you wasting this time together by telling me NBA rumors?
Maybe that's what he meant. I don't know. So then I said it again. No, seriously, like, it's already done. Shaq is on the Suns.
Okay.
And again, he shook his head no.
Uh-huh.
And then he went to sleep.
Forever?
And that was literally.
Wait, those were his last words.
Literally.
Last time he spoke to
my last words to my dad.
Oh.
Now we're not necessarily, it doesn't have to be your last words. Maybe
it's close.
Yes, if it's close.
Deathbed stuff.
But what a weird, I mean, we had many conversations where it's like, I love you, I'm proud of you, back and forth, back and forth. But that was those were my last words.
Yeah, you can't pick and choose what the last one is.
No. Which are absurd.
Yeah.
So Shaq killed your dad.
I mean, I don't know that that's true. I mean, okay. I think
he was terrible on the Suns.
He was terrible
on the Suns. To your dad's
credit.
Knew.
Yeah, to your dad's credit.
So the,
I don't want to live through this.
Wait, he was like, it's too late in his career. We should have got him earlier.
No. Do you think that's what ended it all?
No, of course not.
He didn't
not.
Want to see the Suns with Shaq.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're looking at funny last words.
Yes.
It doesn't have to necessarily be stupid like mine was.
Even
it
last conversations.
Doesn't have to be the last conversation.
Yeah.
Conversations
that
were ridiculous or funny in some way.
Yeah, right. Like I've referenced mine a little bit in the past. And that's that my dad, we also had a long time to talk and a lot of beautiful conversations about life and growing up and all these things. And then one time he just gave me this gem. While on life support, basically, at the hospital, he just went, you know, everybody hates Jews. And I said, what? And he goes, everybody. They'll pretend they like Jews, but deep down in a room when they're alone, they hate Jews. And I went, all right, Dad. And then he was like, I'm going to go to sleep. Laid down. He didn't die. Right. That wasn't the last words.
But it was close.
But it was close. I mean, it was the last two or three times we spoke. And one of them was just like anti-Semitism.
I assume it was way worse for him than you. I certainly hope.
I don't know. Maybe he was seeing the future.
Hope. Yeah, I don't know.
But yeah, it was one of those moments, you know.
So we're going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067. Don't give us sad.
No.
We're not emotionally capable of handling sad.
Too early.
So give us funny last words that you had with somebody that you loved.
Right.
That passed away.
So not like, you weren't my kid and I never loved your mother.
Right.
Okay. Well, I can find that funny.
That's not hysterical.
Yeah.
I mean, that might fall into the category of why would someone ever say that? That could be funny.
You know.
Yeah.
But it has to be funny to you.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then hopefully it'll be funny to us.
Yeah.
So Shaq went to the Suns. That was my last.
Aww.
Wasn't that sweet?
It kind of, if you think about it, it is sweet
is
because
it?
You always bonded over basketball.
Yeah.
So the last thing that he left with was my son just giving me some info.
But
that's
he was
nice.
Denying it.
Well,
he was shaking his head. No, like, you know what?
Why?
No.
Why would they do that?
That's not a thing.
It wasn't a great trade. What he was saying.
Way too late in his career.
No, honestly, from my read, he was rejecting the idea. There's no possible way that could have happened.
Right.
That was my read. I have no idea, you know, because I didn't get any follow-ups.
He believed he was hallucinating.
That's possible.
Yeah.
That's very possible. So, funny last words. The phone number is 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls next. All right. Just before we play the song, let's take one phone call. We're talking about funny last words, and we've got Carolyn from Corona on the line. Good morning, Carolyn.
Good morning.
Thank you for listening. Thanks for calling. What was yours?
Okay. So, like 4 days before my dad died, he was in and out of it, and probably 2 days, right? 2 days right before he died. My niece was there. She's a CNA. She's changing his diaper. He, you know, she's changing his sheet comfortable right before he dies. And he hadn't said much. But one of the last things we heard him say after she was changing him was that somebody was pulling on his nuts.
So somehow he was caught up in the sheet that was being changed?
Yeah.
So she was changing his diaper. I mean, he was out. Like, this was it for him. But he, you know, he said a few other things after that, maybe like a bye or I even mumbled an I love you.
Right.
But the one thing we all heard, everybody in the room, was that somebody was pulling on his nut.
Well, I think that's
fantastic.
That's actually something beautiful, and I'm surprised you guys didn't put it on his headstone.
Not only headstone, if that is not on every cake that you guys have at family get-togethers, you're pulling on my nutsack. That's amazing, Carolyn.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls right after Florence and the Machine on K-Rock. So mine was Shaq was traded to the Suns.
Mm-hmm. Mine is that my dad said everyone hates Jews.
And mine is that everyone lives around me.
Not
just saying. True. Just saying. You guys kill people.
I don't feel like
no,
that.
No. These we had dads.
All right.
So, yeah. All right. Let's go to Philip. Let's start there in Anaheim. Good morning, Philip.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody.
Funny last words.
Okay, so my grandpa, he's kind of the same situation as yours was, Kevin. He was slipping in and out, so they put him on life support, but he wanted to be at home. So they had it all set up at home. Well, I was young. I was with my girlfriend at the time. We were all talking about a pool party that we were going to go to, and my girlfriend said, yeah, I don't think I want to go. Last time, so-and-so jumped in, and he got me all wet. Well, my grandpa at the time woke up at that point, looks up and says, nice, chuckles and goes, nice, and looks at me and tells me, attaboy. And that was it.
Your grandpa was a G.
He's a really nice man.
Nice.
I love him.
Good work, Philip.
Did he live to be 69?
Exactly.
Well done. Thank you for the call. All right. Wow. We have so many. Let's go to Roberta in Pasadena. Good morning, Roberta.
Good morning, guys.
Glad this is working out so far. We were a little worried about
it. Yeah. We're nervous no one was going to call, and they're all full.
All right. What happened with you, Roberta?
All right. Well, my dad passed away in 2005. Now, my dad was a bit of a Casanova.
Mm-hmm.
So there's seven of us total that we know of so far. And before he died, because we had just found one of our brothers, and before he died, he looks over at me and my little sister, and he goes, oh, there might be two more in North Carolina.
Two more we were like, kids? Your sisters?
Yeah, two more.
Oh. Whoa.
So two more siblings somewhere out there. I was like, great.
Your phone's gotten...
Okay, and he goes, He said, can you please go find him? And we were just kind of laughing. We were like, are you serious, or is this just one of your hallucinations? And he's like, no, I think there's two more out there.
Did you ever search? Did you ever find?
If are out there, they're not quite 18 yet, so we're waiting.
I see. Okay.
Wow.
Wow, that's insane.
That is crazy.
Go find them. Give me a little bit more to go on.
Yeah.
What the hell? Let's go to Cassandra. Who's calling from Simi Valley. Good morning. Right. Good morning, Cassandra.
Morning. So my grandmother passed away in January, and she was 96. And she was also very in and out of it.
Cassandra, yeah. I'm sorry, but there's something wrong with the phones. But if you could just tell the punchline quickly, just try.
Okay. So there was one day where she talked to my dad.
Okay, I'm sorry. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
Grandma told her how good her orgasms were.
Oh, no. Oh, dear.
I mean, is that what you want to hear?
Not really.
But it's a positive thing.
It is positive.
For her.
For sure.
Let's go to Ruben in Long Beach. Good morning, Ruben.
Good morning. My dad passed away in 2014, and when he was in intensive care before he passed away, his nurse was smoking hot. And he looks over to me and says, Ruben, do you see the rack on that nurse?
Jeez. Everybody's dying parents are so horned up.
He was appreciating the view. She'd mess with his IV, and his eyes would be bulging like sideways looking down her top.
Wait, she was aware of it then?
I think so, because she's one of those nurses that wear really tight. They're all bulging out everywhere.
Right.
Know, breasts are like bulging in a tight outfit.
You know, one of those
you know those guys.
It sounds like a porn movie, but okay.
I don't think we've had the same type of nurses.
Oh, I love that. Did you see the rack on her or something? All right, let's go to Christine, who's calling us from Tustin. Good morning, Christine.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Okay, so my grandmother, when she died. So I was in Seattle, and I had just finished college, just moved to Seattle, and my mom called and said, you've got to come now to say goodbye. So I get there, I rush to Burbank, I go to the hospital, and she wakes up, and she sees me, and she looks at me and says, nobody likes a pain in the ass, so don't be a pain in the ass.
Now,
and
do you think,
last time I saw her.
Do you think that that was just, like, generic, or was that
no,
tailored to Christine?
That was specifically to me.
Okay. I mean, she's not wrong, Christine.
I was the one who had the purple hair and the nose ring and the eyebrow ring and the purple.
But
you know,
none of that means you're a pain in the ass, though.
Yeah, maybe to an older grandma.
Oh, to her I was.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
To her I was.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah. You rushed there to hear that.
That's beautiful saying. Yes. That's like a Maya Angelou
quote. You know what? It was perfect. It was a perfect goodbye because that was kind of our relationship.
All right.
Great.
I think that's fantastic.
Nice. Yeah.
Thank you for the call. All right, let's go to Michelle in Cyprus. Ariel, please hang on. We're going to come to you next. Hi, Michelle.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
So about 6 months before my dad died, he went out and he bought a new Ford hybrid car. And for different reasons, he was just really unhappy with it. And then for the last 2 months of his life, he was in the hospital and in care centers, and he hadn't even been driving it. But his last words to me were, I should have bought a Prius.
That's insane. He really had buyer's remorse.
I should have bought a Prius.
It's great.
That should be an ad.
Right? It should be.
Thank you for the call, Michelle. We appreciate that. Let's go to Ariel in Redondo Beach. Good morning.
Good morning. So my grandpa's last words to anyone in his family were, get the hell out. I want to watch the Angels game.
That's fantastic.
Did he get through the game or did he get to watch the game?
Yeah, he did. He did get through the game. So he was actually diagnosed with leukemia. From diagnosis to death was less than a month. He was in the hospital. So he's in his hospital room. His daughters, his grandchildren are there. You know, we're trying to be with him. He's like, okay, I'm done. Get the hell out. I want to watch the game. You guys can go home.
And then you never talked to him again?
And then he died during the night.
Aww.
Did the Angels win that game?
I believe the Angels did win that game. Okay, so you know what? I'm not too disappointed.
Yeah, but he's an Angels fan, so he...
I heard the voice of a young beer mug in there.
Yes, Bean, you did.
How you doing, buddy?
How you doing?
So weird. That's a microphone, by the way, in front of you. No,
I tend to... Oh, you don't need to tell him. He's a broadcasting professional.
What?
He is. Mugs, a lot of people may know you as the behind-the-scenes guy here on K-Rock.
Sure.
And, of course, you know, we feature you on the air over the past several years, and you do your cheers with Beer Mug, and you're our man on the street, and they talk to you when they answer the phone. But they may not realize that you have loftier ambitions than just being part of this Dog and Pony Show. You're a star in your own right.
Wow.
Every Thursday night. Am I right?
Wow. I mean, that might be over-exaggerating, but...
Accept it.
Yes, I'm going to take that from the broadcast legend himself, once known as Flash Phillips, Bean Baxter.
I was Flash Phillips. That's true. You are a star in your own right on Thursday night. So what happens at midnight or 2 a.m. or something? You come on before our Friday morning show.
Yes. So the midnight Friday morning, I start a five-hour overnight shift where... Kevin Weatherby has given me the reins to talk on the world-famous K-Rock.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, that's a job that, no joke, hundreds of other broadcasters out here would move to Los Angeles to work that shift.
I know. It's pretty special. And like I said, you know, with the legends that have come through K-Rock, like Jed the Fish, Doug the Slug... you, Bean. I mean, you are the man.
You don't have to butter me up. Okay?
Yes, I'm going to keep buttering you up because you are the man when it comes to talking up intros.
I'm also the man who's about to play your air check on the air for everybody to hear because this is what we're all missing at 3 a.m. when we're not up listening to K-Rock. Mugs on the radio.
106.7 K-Rock, LA and OC's alternative rock. It is Beer Mug. It's going to be a wonderful night. I'm going to be here with you for four more hours. And then the Kevin and Bean Show will be coming in, which I also work for. This is going to be a long day, is what I'm saying.
I feel like you've just begun. Yeah. You're already complaining.
Yeah. It's already over it.
The first talk break. First hour. Wow.
I'm like, what am I doing? Why am I here all night? And then I have to stick around for the stupid morning show.
If I tuned in, I'd be like, this guy is starting a career dilemma that I'm going to listen to over the next 4 hours.
Do you hear how he just gets so deflated as he says that? Silver Sun Pickups playing Kaboo. What is Kaboo, Brian?
Now, wait, who's Brian?
Who's Brian?
Does he have a microphone?
Brian was the board op before me. I relieved him, and he was still standing in the studio. And as I was trying to find where Silver Sun Pickups were playing, I was frantically flipping through our liner book, and I had no idea where it was. So I decided to look at Brian and ask him.
And he clearly had no response to you.
No. He's picking up his things. He's leaving. Yeah. He's not sticking with you for your meltdown.
You were not at all prepared to talk about Kaboo at all, right? It's just that you said it and then you thought, oh man, what have I done?
What gave you that impression? What is Kaboo, Brian? I found it. September 13th through the 15th. More info, go to KROQ.com.
Do you also feel, this is kind of a Radio 101 question, but do you also feel if there's 48 seconds at the beginning of a song, you have to use it all?
No, and that's the golden rule that Kevin will tell you. He says you don't have to talk up the entire intro. You can let it breathe. But
right. Well, you did not follow that advice because it sounded like you were just going to keep going until they started singing.
And I'm curious, is there even a Brian? I mean, let's really tackle
it. Very well could have not been.
He
picks
up his hand and it has a mouth drawn on it.
All right, here's more mugs.
It's 106.7 K-Rock. Now,
the whole Leaving Neverland thing, do you?
No.
Let's bring the mood up with Leaving Neverland.
Somebody's leaving the club. Turns on K-Rock. No.
So Muggs is going to do his pedophilia chunk now for people listening in the middle of the night. Let's see where this goes.
The whole Leaving Neverland thing, do you boycott bands that have covered Michael Jackson too if you're on the side of the accusers?
Oh, no, not alien anymore.
So that's where he was going.
Yes.
Now, is that a legitimate question? I think it sort of is.
Yeah.
I mean, he wrote the song.
It is, but the dramatic pause that alien ant form coming in. I can't. Oh, he thinks he nailed it.
I do like the idea that Alien Ant Farm now comes out to that song and does a small tight five about should we do this song? And everyone gets very excited.
Muggs, we've only heard like 40 seconds of this, and you're already a national treasure.
Oh, so good.
All right, here's some more.
106.7 K-Rock, LNOC's alternative rock. It is Beer Mug, one Los Angeles band. That was Bad Flower. Song called Promise Me, and to another Los Angeles band, Red Hot Chili Peppers. Huh. I like it. Los Angeles. I love you.
Oh, we got sexy Mugs.
Little love note.
Contemplative Mugs.
To the smooth sounds of KROQ.
But wow. You see, I mean, that's a pro talking there, guys, because he modulates his voice compared to, you know, in symphony with what the song is doing.
Sure.
Is that what that is?
Yeah. That's very well done, Mugs.
Thank you. That was new K-Rock alternative rock from Catfish and the Bottlemen called Long Shot. Right now, this is Pennywise with F Authority, and I'm going to say F my credit card company.
Okay, wait, what?
What's
happening?
Is this late in the night?
I mean, this is the last hour.
Okay.
This is the final hour.
And what, are you checking your balance or something during the song?
I had a little issue last week.
Oh, it's on the tape, Mugs. It's on the tape. Here we go.
How is it my fault if the app charges me 10 times on one payment and I can't get my money until next week?
Okay, now what are the listeners to do with this information?
Yeah, I mean, I think I was more venting than anything. Mm-hmm. And if it's one thing I've learned, you know, relatability is the key for a listener to tune in. So maybe they're having credit card issues and problems that I wouldn't.
Pennywise says F authority. I say F my credit card. Are you with me?
All right, I think there's one more.
106.7 K-Rock, Elliot OC's alternative rock. That was New Interrupters. Gave You Everything. That's such a great song. Amy Interrupter, by the way. She's so sweet. Such a sweet, sweet young lass. And back to my credit card thing. I was not finished. I was paying a bill. A one-time bill. And the credit card company decided to charge it 8 times, draining my bank account. And I'm so mad right now. So mad!
All right. Can I give you a piece of advice as a guy who's been around for a while in this business, Mike?
I would love some.
Don't ever change.
Speaking of waiting, I'd like to go back to my credit card company.
Did you ever work that out with them?
Yeah, eventually, 2 weeks later, they gave me all my money back. But I couldn't do anything for like 2 weeks.
I don't want to say I'm happy it happened because we got those gems.
Yeah.
But we got those gems.
Air check beauty, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock. We're about to hit what we call our favorite what's happening, at least mine.
Wow.
Allie, what's happening?
Well, what's happening is we got to talk about some Keep It 100,
that's
y'all.
Right. Once a week, we allow you, the listener, to pick the song that we are going to play. Mm-hmm. It's kind of putting too much power in your hands.
It's so much power. Here's the thing. If it's in our system and you are Texter 100 at 1-800-520-1067, we are going to play it.
That's right. And these are some of the songs that you've picked in the past.
Yeah.
Christmas wrapping was the last one we did, you guys, by the waitresses.
That was a good one. Also, there is no rule against picking Flowbots again.
So no, really? Yeah, there is. No, we're not going to play it.
There's
if
technically
it's a
no rule. You can text us 1-800-520-1067, and Texter 100 will get their song played on the air.
So I feel like since it's Christmassy, Fruitcake
would be good.
Christmas in the 909.
If you want to hear of This Christmas by Sandy Boenum.
I mean, these are all excellent
choices.
We
will play that. If you want to hear Clownvis, Don't Be a Bitch on Christmas.
Don't be a bitch or you won't get stuff for Christmas.
Great song by Clownvis.
All wonderful.
Allie, tell us about what's happening in the news.
What is happening is really sad news. Danny Aiello, the Oscar-nominated actor, probably best known for Do the Right Thing and Moonstruck, has passed away at the age of 86.
Oh, no.
He died last night at a medical facility in New Jersey. According to TMZ, he was in the facility being treated for a sudden illness and suffered an infection related to his treatment.
I was shocked to hear he was 86.
I honestly, if you would have said, tell me right now how old Danny Aiello is, I would have said 68.
Yeah.
Maybe 70 at most.
Did you not pick 69 for a reason?
I didn't because he passed away, but I realized as I was saying it that 69 would have been
the age you actually thought he was?
Probably.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, Danny Aiello has been perpetually 65 probably in my mind since he was 65.
Yeah. He received an Oscar nomination for Best Supporting Actor for his role in the classic 1989 Spike Lee film Do the Right Thing.
Which he's brilliant in.
Brilliant. Would you say that's the first time you ever saw him?
I mean, that's the first time he ever fully stood out to me.
Oh, not me.
But
not
I do remember him in Moonstruck, which I think predates it.
Again,
yes, it does,
not
by
me.
2 years.
Again,
and,
not me.
What would be your first time?
He was Papa from Papa Don't Preach, the Madonna video.
Was that before?
Yeah. Well, yeah. It was probably early 80s, right?
Oh, I also do remember him, now that I'm looking at his IMDb, he was incredible in Once Upon a Time in America. Another great movie that you should know about.
Yes, I've seen that.
Okay, good.
A little long, but he was also, guys, Godfather 2.
Yeah.
He had a line.
He did.
Michael Corleone says hello.
Yeah. He's a good actor, that one.
I haven't seen Godfather 2 yet.
What?
I know. I saw Godfather 1. It only took me, 40 years.
Yo, by the way, Godfather Part 2 is the second thing he was ever in.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. First thing a year before, Bang the Drum Slowly, where he played Horse, which might either be a character named Horse or he played a horse. Which he was such a good actor, he probably could have played a horse.
Probably could have. But rest in peace to Danny Aiello. Passed away at the age of 86. Very sad.
Can I tell you a role he's underrated in?
Yes.
Leon the Professional, which he's in.
Oh, yeah.
And he's so good in.
Yeah.
Danny Aiello.
He's been in a lot of stuff. Just one of those classic great actors. I know you've been looking forward to this. The movie comes out today.
Yes.
It is Josh and Benny Safdie's Uncut Gems.
Yes!
This is my Star Wars.
Are you aware that Adam Sandler almost didn't star in the movie?
Yes, I do know that they ran a table read. Is that what you're going to talk about?
No, they had approached him. He said, I'm unavailable for those dates. And then they finally said, let's try Adam Sandler one more time. Mm-hmm. And he was available.
I did read another story with them where they did a table read, which they call the Bizarro Uncut Gems. And it's basically the same people, except like a little different.
Mm-hmm.
Like instead of Kevin Garnett, it's like a different basketball player.
First of all, Kevin Garnett is Bizarro. The fact that he's in it
is so
strange to me.
And so I know that at that point, instead of Adam Sandler, they had talked to Harvey Keitel.
Oh, wow.
And a couple other people for that role. But I am so excited for this.
Explain to me what it is. He's a jeweler, right?
I'm trying to keep away from as much plot as I can.
Yeah.
But he basically is based on the trailer, he looks to be a jeweler who is deep in a gambling situation where he believes his relationship with Kevin Garnett and the Boston Celtics at that time, he knows what's going to happen in the game. You realize in the trailer that's probably not going to be the case, and he starts getting pressured by bookies and such. But these guys, the Safdie brothers...
So he tries to have Garnett throw games?
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Oh.
And the Safdie brothers made another movie called Good Time with Robert Pattinson. If you think Robert Pattinson's a bad actor, this is the one to watch.
Oh, and
Dynamite. Nope.
Yes.
Different movie.
Janet Jackson.
There was nothing going on.
Mm-hmm.
Good Time, great movie, and now I'm very excited.
That's excited for you.
All I care about.
I just whispered to Destiny, that's Good Times TV show, because
she
was looking
She's
at me
young.
Like, what's happening right now?
Yeah.
It's a TV show. Speaking of Good Times, the All in the Family and Good Times special, December 18th at 8 p.m. It's the live in front of a studio audience. Norman Lear, Jimmy Kimmel.
It's gonna be a big deal.
Cannot wait for this. Guys, you're the cast of The Good Times?
No, you gotta hit me.
Viola Davis.
Oh, great.
Tiffany Haddish.
Yes.
Jay Farrell.
Yes.
Asante Black.
This is great.
Kryn Fox.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on.
These are great. It's a great cast.
Viola Davis, you guys. She's kind of my hero. I can't wait to watch that. And I believe most of the All in the Family cast will be back as well. The Woody Harrelson, the Marissa Tomei.
Love it.
Just fantastic. Cannot wait for that. That just did gangbusters in the ratings the last time it was on.
What was the last time it was on? Was that a year ago already?
Yeah, I don't even think it was a full year, was
it? So they do it like at this time each year, just once?
I don't think it was. Was it December last year?
I think so.
I don't think so.
I mean, it's really? It's close to a year.
They need to put more out. They need to do like Family Matters.
Okay.
Full House.
Yeah. They should do that. I hate myself too. No need to let me know. I get it.
Should they do that?
Should they do that?
It would have been better. Yeah, it would have been better. Yeah.
So rewrite.
Listen, happy birthday, Steve Buscemi, Jamie Foxx, Dick Van Dyke, Tom DeLonge. Horace Day.
I heard that.
Did you say Dick's, two Dick's, Van Dyke?
I was at Dick's Delight.
That's my roller derby name.
And Taylor Swift, and that's what.
That's Coldplay in their Paul Simon Graceland era that they've just entered. World music. But listen, it's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's that time. Keep it 100.
I gotta keep it 100.
Keep it 100, baby.
Keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
Before we get to who is Texter 100, Allie, tell us who came close.
There can only be one, but some great texters just missed out. Texter 99. Angel from Santa Fe Springs wanted to hear Vaseline by STP.
Would have been good.
Love that song. Also just missing out. Oh, I feel for you. Texter 101. Alex from the 323. He wanted to hear Pearl Jam's Corduroy, which I love, but there can only be one Texter 100, and that honor goes to John from Valencia. Hi, John.
Hey, how's it going?
John, what do you have planned for the weekend, bud?
You know, actually, I'm taking my kids to go see Disney on Ice tomorrow.
Oh,
sweet.
You're going to get wasted?
Might have to. So much more enjoyable.
I understand.
It is lovely. You're going to love it. Your kids are going to love it. Are you sticking with a Christmas-type theme with your pick?
Absolutely.
All right. Holiday season.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Tell them what it is.
All right. It's my favorite band. I know a lot of K-Rock's favorite band, Blink-182. I won't be home for Christmas.
Nice.
Go get them at Disney on Ice. This is K-Rock. All right,
keep it 100.
Outside the carolers start to sing. I can't describe the joy they bring, 'cause joy is something they don't bring me. My girlfriend is by my side. From the roof are hanging sickles of ice. Their whiny voices get irritating. It's Christmas time again. So I stand with a dead smile on my face, wondering how much of my time they'll waste. Oh God, I hate these Satan's helpers. And then I guess I must have snapped, because I grabbed the baseball bat and made them all run for shelter. It's Christmas time again. It's time to be nice to the people you can't stand. All year, I'm growing tired of all this Christmas cheer. You people scare me. Please stay away from my home. If you don't want to keep me down, just leave the presents and then leave me alone. Christmas time again. It's time to be nice to the people you can't stand. All year, I'm growing tired of all this Christmas cheer. You people scare me. Please stay away from my home. If you
100.
That was Blink 182. Won't be home for Christmas for our Keep It 100. And Allie, this is the time where we ask you what year the song first came out in.
I feel like with this song, it's difficult because you really hear it during Christmas time. Mm-hmm. So it can get very confusing. I know it originally came out early 2000s, okay. But then it has resurgence every Christmas. So it's difficult for
this
me to
pinpoint.
This feels
like a filibuster?
2001 or 2002.
Well, you're going to have to select one.
Maybe even 2000, but I feel like it's 2002. Final answer, 2002.
Well, normally, I don't come up with the year, so I didn't have it up.
Okay, cool.
So let me tell
this
you exactly.
Going well.
Let me tell you exactly what year it is. It is 2001.
I mean, if you're not going to actually do the homework and the effort, you literally had people waiting while you Googled it, Jensen.
These are people. This is someone who's mad she lost and now she can't handle it.
I'm lashing out.
That was Keep It 100.
Keep It 100.
I don't think I understood half of what Steve-O has told us so far.
But it ended right before went on with, I might do a rap redemption, which are the only words that I care about, because Steve-O is making a rap album, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't know about a whole album.
Steve-O, we love you and you know that, but you don't strike me as a guy with flow.
Yeah, I don't. I have no flow.
Okay. No. All right. How did the project start then, where you said, I'm going to make a rap album?
My buddy was making a movie, a National Lampoon movie called TV the Movie. And it was just a series of sketches which were parodies of TV shows.
Okay.
All right.
And I did a spoof of MTV Cribs. And I was like, okay, come on in and you'll be the it'll play like, I forgot that MTV Cribs was coming, and they catch me at a really bad time.
Sure, of course.
And I'm swimming in a sea of nitrous oxide canisters, and I'm out of my mind, just super loaded, and I'm saying, I've been out of the picture, but I'm coming back with a rap album, and I recorded this, like, deliberately awful rap song.
Right.
And and played it for the MTV Cribs crew. It all was really pretty hilarious. And, I ended up getting a deal with Universal Records.
In real life.
What?
Right, and it would have been super funny if I just like made awful music and put it out as a joke. But
a lot of other artists are doing it.
And it was just really crazy because I was at the lowest point. You know, this was at the end of my run.
The lowest point of your life with drugs and everything.
Drugs and alcohol. And now I'm making this rap album and just doing even more drugs.
But you had enlisted some big names, right?
Uh-huh. I had the artists I recorded songs with, Be Real.
Awesome.
Oh my god. MOP. They're more like kind of hardcore, but mm-hmm. MOP is epic. Cool G Rap. I did a song with them.
How is this possible?
He's Steve-O.
I had Daz and Corrupt.
No.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And this hasn't seen the light of the
album. Yeah, the actual album never came out, but just on, like in a drug-fueled bender, I put some of the content just online myself.
Oh, no. Because that's what Universal wants.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Oh, and in the form of a mixtape where I just blatantly attacked the universe, the very people that gave me the deal.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, they're trying to tell me not to do certain things on the album. And I'm like, well, F you.
Wow.
And here it is.
Nothing but good decisions.
So if you're doing the math, this was 2007 and you've now been sober 11 years.
Correct.
Okay, makes sense.
Right.
Congratulations on that, first of all. That's amazing.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I was, So I just recently got this camper van, and it doubles as a traveling studio, and like it's really exciting. This top of the line camper van, these people, recon campers, make it. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh man, you know, my appearance on Kevin and Bean is pretty early. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna drive my camper van over, and I'm gonna sleep in it on their property.
Wait for your appearance here, and then you would set an alarm and get up and come down.
Right, to sleep here. So I drove here. About 1 a.m. last night.
Okay.
go up on the top level of your parking structure. I had Wendy, my dog, and like I popped the top up and I blacked out all the windows and I'm all
perfect night, ready to go.
Snuggled up and going to bed. And then bump, 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 bump. This guy who is really in love with his job.
Oh, no. And we'll refer to him as Paul Blart, I assume.
Yeah, so yeah, I took off, man.
Wait, so he
made you leave.
He kicked you out?
He made me leave. He says there's no overnight parking. And I was just a bit discombobulated, you know, like I was on the verge of being deep asleep.
Right.
And I should have told him, dude, I came here at like 1 in the morning, bub. It's not overnight. I just got here a little early.
Yeah, just early for your parents. That's all. Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah,
and you told him who you were.
Well, I didn't. I just said,
Did he not know?
I just said I'm going to be on the radio.
I assume a lot of people know who you are by sight. Did he?
I probably not. I don't even think so. Yeah. I'm not sure that he was really American.
Okay.
Why couldn't Wendy take him down, man? Why isn't your dog better trained?
That's a great question.
I forget. So he made you leave, and that's like...
And then I went...
How many, $20 or something to get out?
$21.
And so where'd you go?
I just went home and got in bed.
Oh, Steve-o. Man, trying to be so responsible.
I know. And I really am so responsible.
You are.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
You prove that every day. Steve-o, by the way, we should mention, is bringing his, what are you calling it? It's a multimedia experience tour?
It's a multimedia show. It's the Bucket List Tour.
Bucket List Tour, right.
This is
a great idea for a tour, and I'm going to let you explain it.
Well,
but I mean, people don't believe your stories are real, and this tour is proof that they are.
100%. Yeah, I would say I found myself in this awful situation. I'm Steve-o in my 40s.
Not something you ever pictured, I assume.
I never pictured it, and it's like, I mean, the 40s is, I think, difficult for a lot of people, mm-hmm. but for me it's an absolute nightmare. And so I'm thinking to myself, oh geez, like, do I have to stop doing all the dumb stuff I'm known for?
I mean, literally, if you're in your 40s and you're like, I need to get hit in the balls today, you're making bad choices.
Well, you know? I feel that I am running out of time before it gets creepy to watch me do that stuff.
Okay.
And so, like, sort of with a new level of urgency, I decided to really just make one more push. I'm going to raise the bar for crazy one more time. And how to do that?
You know who the current record holder is for crazy?
Who's that?
You.
Oh, nice.
Just stepping it up on top of yourself.
Stepping it up an extra notch.
And I didn't have to, like, you know, come up, like deliberately come up with a way to raise the bar for crazy, because it's sitting right there. I mean, I've had these ideas for the longest time. I think I told you guys about one of them the last time I was here, and you gave me the term peeing white.
Oh, is it the skydiving?
Yes, and that's the nicest way to say it.
Yeah.
Simultaneously falling out of an airplane.
No, we got it.
Yeah,
we
understand.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. And, I mean, in any case, so all of these ideas on my bucket list, so to speak, they're the bottom of the barrel. They're these jackass stunts that, like, through all of the jackass, were just, nope. You know?
So when you pitch something to jackass and they go, no, thank you.
Right.
That's your bucket list now? All of those things?
Pretty much, yeah. Like, it's just stuff that was just so absurd that, like, I just didn't even consider doing it until I found myself in this awful position. And I'm like,
so
okay,
you tell the stories, and then you show the video of you actually doing the thing.
Correct. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I'm really, really excited about it. And, it's this crazy. I mean, so imagine like a stand up comedy act about the stunts that were too much to consider going through with.
Yeah.
And to go through with them, like the implications on my relationship. I've got this saint of a fiance, and after each bit in the act, yes, I screen, and so there's like, I mean, talk about X-rated. X-rated. Uh-huh. Peeing. I'll stick with peeing white.
Yes, please. If you don't mind, I think everyone knows.
And there's also the bit that we can't talk about how you fell in love with your fiance when the thing happened with her vagina. I mean, I don't want to get into it, but I mean, that's in the That's in the show.
Right. That is absolutely
in the show.
Show.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
We've known Steve-O so long, and he's come in so many times, and he still has all new stories every single time he's here.
It's amazing.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. How old, I would imagine, based on the content of your show, which, by the way, is going to be at Oxnard Liberty Live, four shows this weekend, Friday and Saturday, two shows each, improv.com/Oxnard. I would imagine that you have to be at least 35 to get into
the show. Hiccups, by the way. Just so you
know. Hiccups, yeah, sorry.
I've never heard of the pencil technique, by the way. No, that's good.
What have you heard to solve that? The hiccups.
What, hold your breath, drink water.
I just got a spoonful of peanut butter. Somebody just swears by.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard that. I think you need to pee white, Bean.
How old do you have to be to get in to see the show?
It varies, but I mean, if you're going to go into an adult bookstore, all you have to be is 18.
Right.
But okay. But with that said, most of the time it's 21. I'm not sure if Levity Live in Oxnard is 18 or 21.
Let's just assume 21.
But everywhere I go on this tour, there are absolutely legal waivers posted all over the venue.
I love that.
Yeah.
But what about emotional waivers? Because I feel like there's going to be some scarring going on.
The legal waivers cover that.
Covers it all.
By entering
Oxnard Levity Live, four shows this weekend. Quick break, more with Steve-O. And I'll try that peanut butter, too, when we come back right after this.
Yeah,
our friend Steve-O in studio, comedian, actor, stunt performer, is going to be appearing at the Oxnard Levity Live, four shows this weekend, two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. Just $25, and we checked, it's 18 and up if you want to come see the multimedia experience. Hey, Steve-O, before we get into some other areas, I wanted to ask, because it's a cause that's near and dear to my heart, how are you and your fiancé doing on the animal rescue? You were looking for property last time we talked to you.
We're still looking for property, and we've got a few more to check out. We were down—first we looked in Denver, or near Denver, and just—I mean, it was a two-and-a-half-hour flight to get there. That's just— I almost just knew before we got there that that's too far. We need to be able to drive to it.
Yeah, you need to be hands-on, right?
Right. So we looked in Temecula, and we saw like four properties, and one of them was kind of close, but no. And now I think we're checking Ramona.
So what's the plan? You're going to have...
We want to buy land and open up an animal sanctuary.
Any particular kinds of animals that you're
farm
drawn
animals.
To?
Farm animals.
If there's and thank you so much for asking me about this. I really appreciate it. The model that I would be going after is that of the Gentle Barn, which is their main spot is in Santa Clarita, and they have different locations around the world and more popping up. It's just a super great place, and they take in farm animals.
What is it that got you that interested in farm animals and rescuing?
Don't ask a guy in the Jackass movies that question.
Oh, sorry.
Why? That's
a good point.
I don't know. I mean, my fiance and I, she already had this idea that she wanted to retire on a ranch. And I love it. We don't want to have kids. So one of the stunts on my bucket list was the vasectomy Olympics.
Olympics?
Now, how does that work, Steve?
Well, I heard a joke when I was a kid. And the joke was, what's the definition of macho? A man who jogs home from his own vasectomy. And I thought, you know what? I don't want kids, and I can totally beat jogging.
Again?
No.
Why does everything come down to that?
I can totally beat. Yeah, so in any case, yeah, so we're definitely not having kids. We've established that.
Uh-huh.
And we just love the idea. We love it so much.
Well,
in fact,
good for you.
That's sweet. I like that.
Yeah, we're going to call it the Radical Ranch. And, we just love it. And we love the idea so much that we've not even set a date for our wedding. We actually want to get married on the land.
Oh, so this is more. This is step one before
correct.
Anything else.
Yeah, it kind of symbolically represents our future.
And you guys are both vegan, too, right?
We're on a fish kick.
Veganish. Okay, pescatarian.
Veganish, yeah, pescatarian. Yeah.
Gotcha. You had a story that you made a reference to on your social media recently, and forgive me if this is old, but I don't think that I know it.
The skin grafts.
How did Mike Tyson break your nose?
What a great story.
How did Iron Mike break your nose?
Best story ever.
that's got some tough competition for
right?
you.
Yes. This one's really, really good.
Okay.
I first met Mike Tyson... 2005, at a house party. We locked ourselves in the bathroom and just ripped through 5 grams of cocaine.
Okay.
And hours and hours locked up in this bathroom.
That was your introduction to him?
Pretty much,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh.
The next time I spent meaningful time with Mike, we were locked up together in a psychiatric ward.
Well, that's very different.
Right. And the whole time that we were in the psychiatric ward, I was telling him, Mike, man, let's film a stunt together. It's called the Black Eye Game. And what I want to do is I want to hold out my fist. Oh, no, sorry. You hold out your fist.
Uh-huh.
You keep your elbow locked, Mike. And then so he holds out his fist, and I run into it with my face. And
what
that, and so,
I know. How many steps would that be before you came up with that idea, B?
In a million
never.
Years, I could live with Mike Tyson till we both died, and I would never want to run into his fist.
Well, the Black Eye Game has had many sort of variations, and I think the ultimate one was the Mike Tyson Black Eye Game. And, well, at that time in the psychiatric ward, neither of us were in very good shape. It just wasn't.
Well, I would imagine.
It wasn't in the cards.
Right.
So, fast forward.
Imagine you're there. You're in a psychiatric hospital, and a guy goes, just lock your arm, and I'll run into it with my face.
Yeah.
He probably thought, this dude really needs to be here.
I remember he said.
I need to get out.
He said, I don't want to hurt you, Steve. And, so, fast forward to 2011, and, And we both got booked to be on the Charlie Sheen roast. Right?
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we both had the same agent who booked us. So now I just full court press. Yeah, Same idea.
Lock your arm, I'll run into your fist.
Yeah, okay. Hold your fist out, lock your elbow, and let me run into it. Comedy Central loved the idea. The agent loved the idea. So we got enough pressure on him, he said, okay, I'll do it. Now, what makes it particularly epic is that just the year before, we filmed Jackass 3D, and Bam Margera had his Rocky trick where he comes up and he throws the water in your face and he sucker punches.
Right, right.
Bam broke my nose doing that on the set of Jackass 3D. I was furious, but I didn't do anything about it for 2 months. And then I go to the doctor.
You knew it was broken.
I knew it was broken.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and after 2 months, I finally got fed up enough. I said, I'm going to get it fixed, and the movie's paying for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go show up at this nose doctor, and he says, I'd love to help you, but it's healed this way. You know, he says, if you want me to straighten your nose now, if you want me to fix it, I'm going to have to re-break it with a chisel. With a chisel.
With a chisel.
Right. That's how they do it, I suppose. You got to re-break it
and
then reset it.
Was this doctor in the back of a white van?
I don't know.
This is shaky.
I said, you know what? I'm going to pass. I don't hate it that much. So I showed up at the Charlie Sheen roast with a crooked nose. I dove into Mike Tyson's fist, and he broke it so significantly that it was like quite literally parked under my right eye.
Oh my God.
Gushing blood. And this was the last thing that happened on the stage at the Charlie Sheen roast. So I've got this mangled nose and it's gushing blood. Now the show's over. Everybody's getting up and starting to leave. This guy in the crowd, he screams, Steve-O, Steve-O, like gets my attention. He says, your nose needs to be set right now, which adds up with what the doctor had told me.
Right.
So he says, he comes rushing over. He says,
I'm sorry, this is a guy in the crowd.
A guy in the crowd at the Charlie Sheen roast.
Okay.
He says, your nose needs to be set right now. Then he goes on to say, I'm a kung fu instructor. I've set, he says, I've set like 20 broken noses. I know what I'm doing. And so I just trusted this guy. Because
see, I knew it. Like, that's where you and I are different.
Going to the hospital sounded like a real pain in the
tush. Well, of course it is.
You know, it would have been inconvenient. I knew that from what the doctor said.
Some kung fu guy trying to straighten it out.
But dude, I had so little to lose, man. Like, he could not have made it look any worse. My face was such an unbelievable mess at this point. It was parked under my right eye.
Oh, my God.
There was only improvement to be made. So I sat on the edge of the stage, and this kung fu dude puts a thumb on either side of my nose and just wrenches it. It was the most painful.
Oh.
I mean, it hurt more than actually diving into Mike Tyson's fist. But by the time this kung fu dude was done, my nose was completely straight. I mean, before and after photos demonstrate that my Mike Tyson Kung Fu nose job was the most unbelievable success, and it was completely for free, and it's the coolest way you could ever break your nose, plus I really needed it.
Coolest way, coolest way to break your nose and get it reset, both.
Correct. It was a full-on nose
that's
job.
That's a full circle right there,
man. I know. I told you it's the greatest
you
story
make
ever.
Terrible decisions, dude. But look at how he ends up with a beautiful straight nose, right?
I know. I got a beautiful straight nose and really like the greatest. Plus, I was on Mike Tyson's podcast. He's got this podcast called Hot Boxing. He's just killing it on there.
Right.
And I recently got together with him and then he and I together walked through all of our sordid past and
each time you were
cocaine. We talked about how he smoked the cocaine, which is like just the most incredible thing. He took cigarettes and rolled in his fingers, rolled the cigarette back and forth such that the tobacco fell out.
Okay.
Leaving nothing but a cylinder, an empty tube connected to the filter.
Right.
And nothing but paper, just an empty tube of paper. And then he starts dumping in powder cocaine. Nothing but powder cocaine.
Right.
No, not mixed with tobacco. I'm looking at it thinking, okay, like logistically, like realistically, can't work. No way. Pure
when
powder.
When Steve-O says can't work.
I'm just thinking, the paper's going to burn like the cocaine. It's pure cocaine.
Right.
And he's packing it tight. And then he fills up the whole thing and takes out the filter. And just sure enough, he made it work. I was so impressed. I just kept giving him more. He smoked.
Oh, man.
He smoked these cocaine cigarettes one after another. That's how he made it through 5 grams of cocaine.
And we had the deep. So lucky to be alive.
We had the most deepest, fascinating conversations for like 3 hours.
You thought that at the time.
In this smoke filled. I mean, you never saw a bathroom look more like a crack house. And after like 3 hours, once the cocaine was gone, then it was time for Steve-O to go. but
it sounds like that bathroom is where the name of his podcast, Hotboxing, might have come from.
Just about. And before I left, he said, Steve, everybody got you wrong. You're really smart. And I'm thinking to myself, what do I do with that? Mike Tyson just told me that I'm an intelligent man.
Did he or didn't he, though? Because you were doing a lot of cocaine.
Right, but I think that we were actually like, we're both pretty intelligent.
Well, you've proven that with this story.
You can't follow that story up with that line.
I'm sorry.
Oh,
Steve-O, is the Tyson video of you running New Year's Kiss, is that part
sure.
of the show?
For oh, sure.
Great. Okay.
Oh, wait, no, it's like, yeah.
Steve-O at the Oxnard Levity Live, 4 shows this weekend, 2 shows Friday, 2 shows Saturday. This is an unbelievable multimedia show. It's getting rave reviews. I see the people that react to you. They're saying it's the funniest thing they've ever seen.
Well, thank you. It's definitely for my almost 9 years on the comedy club circuit, I have never had such emphatic, enthusiastic, positive feedback.
Dean, I know we're late, but we have a couple of really quick clips of Steve-O's rap song. Do you want to hear that?
This one?
Yes, we do.
I smoked PCP to the point where I blacked out and destroyed Fame from MOP studio. And remember, that's like the hardcore, like really right. scary gangster rap guys.
Nice work. Here we go.
All right, now it's like summer 2007. I'm not on PCP there. That's where I'm narrating this.
You're narrating, okay.
Yeah. Woods, upstate New York at Mafia Mike's house, just smoking more PCP than a horse could handle. Probably, anyway. So I figured, hell, I haven't seen Who Kidding so I mean, I don't even know if he's alive. But I'm gonna make tracks. I'm heading into Fame Studio. Boy, am I on PCP tonight. I'm gonna make a funny ass ODB tribute song called Down with STDs. How do you like this for a rap album, ladies and gentlemen?
Wow.
What?
Wow.
The hell?
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Like my search history, see like, creepy mannequin like Ricky and be like, what's happening here? What's wrong with her?
That's best case scenario for you.
What?
Best case scenario for you. What just happened? Sorry, I have a cough drop in my mouth.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
He's here in spirit.
Whew.
Here in spirit.
I feel like we need another run at that because you have to understand that as he said it, mm-hmm. he didn't realize it was weird until our reaction.
Mm-hmm. Okay, play it again.
So play it again. Mm-hmm.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Like my search history, you yeah. see like, you know, creepy mannequin like Ricky and be like, what's happening oh. here? What's wrong with her?
That's best case scenario for you.
What?
Best case scenario for you. What just happened? Sorry, I have a cough drop in my mouth.
I mean,
that was A Moment with Kevin.
Beautiful.
Oh, rest in peace?
Recipes for okay, reals. Cool. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock, and it's Friday. Uh-huh. We're starting to end the show, which yeah. means only one thing.
Mele kaliki make.
Amen.
It is the last What's Happening. Allie, tell us what's going on.
Guys, I saw this tweet, and I thought, you're a monster.
Mm-hmm.
It's by shenanigans underscore love, L-U-V.
That's, you think that's the real name?
That's her real name. Okay. Yeah, shenanigans love. She wrote, I don't know who needs to hear this, but you can put two or three fitted sheets on your bed at a time and just remove the top one when it's dirty instead of always folding them and putting them away.
Hmm.
What?
They sleeping on three?
Yes. So then when you go to wash your sheets, you just take off the top one. It's the second one's already there.
No. Still the same amount of work, really. Just you don't have to do them at different times.
Absolutely. And some people were saying, oh, this is next level brilliant. And then other people were like, you don't sweat? You don't think the one under it is dirty? Like, it is so wrong.
That's like, you know what? Wear three coats.
Yes.
Because then when you want to wear another coat, you just take off the one. It's like, no, dude, it's too many coats.
This guy wrote next level, and then the response to him was, something soaked through to the next level.
Oh! Yeah. She's a sociopath.
I mean,
a bitch.
Ma'am. No.
No.
But then I saw another tweet. We're getting into sheets, people.
Mm-hmm.
Sheet talk.
Sheets, what's up?
What's up? That said, do people really use the top sheet? So you put on the fitted sheet.
Yes.
Then you've got another sheet. Then you've got your comforter or duvet. And I was like, of course we use the top sheet.
Yeah.
Apparently, less and less people are using the top sheet. They're just putting fitted sheet. Comforter.
Do they live in a dorm?
That's my question. And my question also is, what about that in-between stage where it's not hot, but it's also not cold, but you need a little covering?
Yeah.
And by a little covering, because of the monsters and the vampires that are going to tickle your feet.
Well, I had you till then. But absolutely. Okay. This is a weird thing.
Yeah.
I don't think it's like you live in a Bed Bath & Beyond just because you have a top sheet.
No, it comes in a set.
Yeah, it's easy.
And what are they doing? Are they throwing away the top sheet?
You know, it's the easiest thing to place onto the bed,
Thank you. You just lay it on top.
Yeah.
And then other people were saying, no, it's too restricting with the top sheet. What is happening?
Well, release the bottom. Everyone knows that.
Well, yeah, we're not in a hotel.
Yeah, and even in a hotel, release it.
What's happening with people in sheets? Mugs, top sheet.
No.
Oh, my gosh!
What are you doing, Mugs? You're disgusting.
I knew it. I knew we'd find one. No. You're a monster. Why?
It's pointless.
It is not pointless.
It is.
It's used for sure. Based on you being cold, it's a great addition. And on top of that, it's like a dimmer. Like, you're too hot, and you can just dim it down a little by pulling it down a bit.
Yeah, but then it always gets, like, bunched up, like, when you're sleeping, and it's, like, down by your feet, and you're just like, oh, I gotta pull the top sheet back. It's just too much work.
Canceled.
No, get out of here.
It's too much work for Mugs.
Too much work.
It's too much work.
Do you have a duvet cover?
I do.
That technically is too much work. A duvet cover
it's difficult.
It is too much work.
Do you wash the duvet cover?
Like, once a month.
No, you don't. You're such a liar. How often do you wash the duvet cover?
Probably every 2 years.
I love it was once a month. I would have been shocked once a year. So I feel like you finally told the truth.
We're very clean. I don't think we do it once a month. I think I wash it once every 2 or 3 months.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, once every 2 years. That was great.
God,
you are a gift.
Thank you for being honest.
I love it so very much. You guys, reports say Amazon has paid a pretty penny for the rights to a documentary about the life of Rihanna. According to The Hollywood Reporter, the streaming giant paid $25 million for the untitled documentary. Here's where some of the paycheck goes to, I believe. It's directed by Peter Berg.
Yeah, and her weed budget.
Okay.
Sure,
all right.
Pretty high.
They have more than 1,200 hours of footage that will offer insight into the singer's personality, sense of humor, work ethic, family, and love. I'm excited for that because I feel like she's a very private person. Mm-hmm. So any look into her life, we're going to learn something new about Rihanna.
I think it's going to be good because you know what they say about documentaries.
What?
Every footage is like a story.
Mm-hmm. So
for years they've said
yeah,
that.
So yeah, so I'm excited.
Okay, mm-hmm. Excellent. Guys, Shazam 2 is happening. And we have a release date. It's not a joke, you guys. Mm-hmm. April 1st, 2022. Zachary Levi reportedly back on board to star. A lot of Warner Brothers release dates recently. We know that the Black Adam film in the works starring The Rock is supposed to begin shooting next year. We've got Warner Brothers announcing the DC titled The Flash is going to be in theaters July 1st, 2022. Also, The Matrix, May 21st, 2021. You know what else comes out May 21st, 2021?
What?
Wait a minute.
Uh-oh.
Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't make sense.
What's going on?
But
this article says both John Wick Chapter 4 and Matrix 4 will be released May 21st, 2020.
What's going on?
Not 2021.
I'm confused now.
Well, let's get the news person in here. Let's get the what's happening person.
That's me.
Oh.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Oh. I
didn't notice this discrepancy.
Hmm.
One of them has the wrong date, you guys. One of them has the wrong date.
What's
Who
going
is
on?
It?
Who? Tell me really quick which one. We'll call them. We'll get this all situated when we're off air.
Uh-huh.
This is really important.
Okay.
What? Who has the wrong date?
It's 2021.
Okay.
It's 2021.
2021. This article has a wrong date.
What's the point?
I bring it up.
It should have a point or something.
It never does. Mm-hmm. I bring it up because both films will be released on the first day.
Okay.
On the same day, which will be called Keanu Reeves Day.
Great. Mm. Good one.
Long slide to home.
I'm happy we
I
stuck
believe,
with it.
Is what the kids are calling it, mm-hmm. you guys. And a real bummer for anyone that enjoyed Brockmire. What a joy that show is. IFC confirmed that the comedy Brockmire, starring Hank Azaria and Amanda Peet, will end after four seasons. The final eight-episode season will premiere in March. That show is really good.
The thing that'll get hurt the most is Bean pulling drops.
A lot of drops.
He pulled
from
so many drops from Brockmire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's dead, so it doesn't matter.
So it doesn't matter. They died together.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's still another season, eight
Rest
episodes that will premiere in March. Mm-hmm. So somebody on this show that's Bean-like
can pull drops.
Should probably pull drops.
Do you care?
Muggs, I'm talking about you.
Oh, all right.
Can you imagine if Muggs was Bean-like?
Oh, God.
You're the you're Bean-unlike.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Guys, let's talk about some birthdays.
Oh, let's.
Jamie Foxx, Dick Van Dyke, Tom DeLonge, Morris Day, Taylor Swift, and Steve Buscemi.
Hmm.
Right? You know what a lot of people think?
What? Got his eyes?
Steve Buscemi is one of those guys that's like weird looking, but
would.
Highly doable.
But would, yeah.
Dude, have you seen a picture of him when he was a New York firefighter?
No.
Like young Steve Buscemi?
Yeah.
Dude, I would do him.
Into it?
Oh, nice. In his turnout? Oh.
Yeah. Turnout gear can make anyone look hot. But Steve Buscemi, really?
Yeah. Did you know he was a New York firefighter?
I did.
He's all young and stuff.
This is young Steve Buscemi.
Yeah.
I'm showing you a picture right now.
Well, there's another one. That quite doesn't do it.
Okay.
That,
yeah. But, by the way, your quote, Muggs, right there, was he was all young and stuff. That was like a tan and stuff. That was excellent.
He'd make cute babies because, you know, he was all young and stuff.
Steven's all tan and stuff. All right, guys.
Is that what's happening?
No, we're just going to end it because that's what's happening.
Okay, great. Okay. Listen, hey, on your drive home, Steelers, and we'll be back, at least I'll be back next week.